about.
Get your dancing shoes on and welcome to the rock and roll dance party.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I always say that we are very fortunate in California because we have a lot of disasters.
I'm not really a touchy-feely type, but, well, hell, I'll just say it. You're a jackass.
Well, I guess Larry King was right. We can all just get along.
And the final question for Emmanuel is, do birds ever pick you up and carry you off to their nests?
No, but that would be interesting.
I'm sure you people think this is very amusing, but if you people can't take this seriously, then I don't think we have any reason talking to each other.
Oh, it's winter time already. It's that special time. It's no cussing week in Mother Pasadena. Screw you, kid.
And now,
what are you doing tonight?
Masturbating. I'd invite you, but people are already talking.
Our feature presentation.
I know, right?
Like to start off by saying, ugh.
Hey, how about picking up the phone, Kevin and Bean listener, and giving us a call to get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew for a Tuesday, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. Kevin, I thought about it yesterday, and I've come to the conclusion that you must buy a Toyota. You saw what happened to that guy on the Interstate 8 yesterday?
I didn't see, no.
Oh, you would love it so much. He's driving his 2008 Prius, and the accelerator sticks.
Good.
This has been the problem on a few Priuses, or Prii, as they're called. Millions of them on the road. It's only happened to a handful of them. It's confounding the company to death. They can't figure out what is making it happen. They've figured out a way to make it happen by rewiring the software in the automobile.
Right.
But other than that, they can't figure out a real-world reason why this would ever happen to anyone.
Right.
So this dude's driving down the highway in California. And his accelerator sticks, and he's going 95 miles an hour.
All right.
And I'm thinking, perfect for Kevin so far, right? And you got a legitimate excuse if and when they pull you over, you can say, not my fault.
Although you can't pull over.
That's true. You speed right by work.
Thank God, by the way, he's on a freeway, A, and not in his neighborhood. Thank God, B, he's on a freeway that happens to be moving to the point where he's got a way to go 95 miles an hour for some amount of time. Because let's face it, there's a lot of times on the freeway where you can do that for a few minutes and then you're going to hit some traffic that's stopped. And unless you're on the shoulder, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah, almost all the time that happens.
So he calls 911 and says, I got me a situation here. And boy, I can't wait to hear that 911 call, because the guy on the news in the interview afterwards, super calm about it. I wonder how he was at the time when he called 911.
I can't stop!
So they send out Highway Patrol, I guess, to kind of get near him. They, gives them their location. They send out the Highway Patrol, and they use one of the bullhorns to basically say, hey, you need to – they tell him how to get the car to stop slowing down. I don't remember what the exact directions
were,
but it was –
Take your foot off of the gas pedal.
Oh. Well, he was trying all sorts of – I guess they told him to put on the emergency brake and pound down on the regular brakes as much as he could to finally get the car, disengaged and start slowing down. So he does that, and while he's doing that, they get another CHP officer who pulls in front of him and starts to slow down. And the plan is that they're going to bumper him. His car is going to run into theirs, and they're going to gradually be able to slow it down that way, because they got a runaway car going on here. Well, the deal with the emergency brakes did finally end up working and did start slowing it down. He got it down to about 55 or so, and then he was able to push the button and get the car to turn off. But they haven't done an exhaustive research into this, but the thinking is that he didn't want to just turn the car off while he was going 95 miles an hour, because you lose your power steering if the car's off, and then you're really in trouble, right?
That's not that hard. It's a Prius. It's not a 18-wheeler.
Well, no, you're right about that. I did lose my power steering on my car once, and I was shocked at how hard it is to turn. And also, and maybe this isn't right, but I guess unless you turn it all the way off, it's not going to lock, right? The steering wheel?
Right.
So that's not a problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
it seems
but
to
I
me
can
he
see-
should have turned it off.
Yeah, that's what
I can see being. I can see being worried about that, about locking though, because then if you can't turn, I mean, let's face it, you're in a situation where you weren't anticipating this, and you really could die. So it's easy to second guess, but what a bizarre story! And being able to call 911 and being able to have them find him on the freeway and everything, just a bizarre story. So I can't wait to find out what the you know, what the repercussions is. Toyota, obviously, is they're eager to get their hands on that car and see if they can figure it out since it just happened.
Yeah, they're sending people down, right?
But they never say this on the news, but it's a 2008 Prius, which I didn't know was one of the ones that was being recalled. I've got a 2007. Now I'm getting worried.
No, yours is good.
Well, I've never had any trouble with it, and I love it. But
same with the guy yesterday.
Yeah, I still love – one more note, and then we'll get right to your calls. He did get the recall notice a few weeks ago, took it to the dealer, and they said, too busy, can't do it right now.
Oh, nice.
So
come back in a couple of weeks.
Oh, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
It is. It's a world of hurt for our friends at Toyota right now. But
people that went out and bought the Prius and looked down your nose at the rest of us.
I didn't look down my nose at anybody. I just wanted to save some money on gas. Oh. That's all. It's the first grown-up car I've ever had that's actually comfortable too. So that's why I bought it.
Yeah, that's funny too. In that if they just ran out of gas, they would also slow down. But
true.
Not that one.
That's true. Right. They never ran out of gas.
Can't really do that.
Good point.
Drive all the way to southern Mexico before you finally ran out. Yes, exactly.
All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
All right, how about a 4-pack of great music for you? Alice in Chains' Black Gives Way to Blue, Phoenix, Wolfgang Amadeus Phoenix, Linkin Park's Minutes to Midnight, and Silver Sun Pickup Swoon. You get all of that just for being on the air with us at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Keenan? He's on line 4. He's actually a car mechanic, and he's got some information perhaps for us.
Hey, Keenan.
Hey, what it do, nephews and nieces?
What it do?
Hey, Toyota's just trying to save some money. That's all it is. When they design the car, normally you would design it to where it's just a couple of wires going to the little computer on the car.
Right.
Where the brakes will override everything else. And when you step on the brakes, obviously the accelerator stops.
Right.
So either they tried saving some money or someone's just a little retarded over at the company and they don't do that. So now on this little recall thing that they're doing, they actually install the little wires that they're supposed to.
Hmm. And well, I don't know anything about that. That's not my area. It seems unlikely because Toyota, you know, year in and year out is, you know, tops in terms of performance in their cars and low maintenance and on and on and on. I mean, it seems like the part of the reason they have a reputation as being a great company is because they haven't scrimped on corners. You know, that doesn't sound like them.
They've had this problem since about 2000, 2001, and there weren't enough of them for them to actually look into it. Yeah. And also, normally on a car, when you're driving, you could shift it into neutral. I know I've accidentally done it sometimes on a freeway.
Right.
Uh-huh. But they thought it would be smart to use it as a fail proof and not allow it to do that.
Yeah, you can't put it in neutral, right, when you're driving it.
Yeah, so I just think it's kind of funny that Toyota's new slogan is moving forward.
Whether you want to or not.
Always faster. Thank you, Keith.
All right. Thank you for the information. We appreciate it. Let's try our man Raul. He's on line 2 calling the Kevin and Bean Show today. Hey, Raul. Thanks for calling. What'd it do?
Raul just said no thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, he hung up right as we were going to him.
Moving on.
He was calling to thank you for something.
I know. How rare does that happen?
Never. And apparently not today either.
Not today either. Let's go to Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
What'd it do, baby boo?
What'd it do, Jerry?
I'm just calling. What's up with the Dodgers not letting you buy a single game ticket to the Yankee game against the Dodgers for that series unless you buy a full-on mini pack? You know, I buy a season pass, you know, 5 years in a row for 15 games, and they up it to 20, and now I can't even, this year I didn't do it because of the economy, and I can't buy a single game ticket for the Dodgers unless it doesn't sell out, which it usually does, like, way in advance.
Here's
you know?
My question. Is the sport we're speaking of baseball?
I know somebody there's a big Mariner fan, and they made some good pickups, but, you know, I'm still a diehard Dodger fan.
Right.
Well, that was Kevin who was disparaging all of baseball. It's possible that I don't know if it's different for the Dodgers than it is for the Mariners. Usually Major League Baseball ticket on sale is the same no matter which club it is, and I know that the single game tickets have not gone on sale yet. So far they have only offered them as part of a package. I think Monday, or maybe early this week, I can't remember what day, I think they maybe haven't gone on sale yet just for that particular series, but you should definitely keep checking back because at some point they're going to offer them.
Yeah, here's the deal. Here's what I read is even when the season starts, they're not going to offer it, and they're not going to offer it until the game day, if it's not sold out, which is
well, that's shocking.
stuff.
That's a real surprise to me. I don't know what to tell you, my friend.
It's all due to the divorce, man. But anyway, thanks for
Oh, maybe it's the divorce.
Sure. Okay. Maybe she's selling them. You should go to her.
That's what I'm
thinking.
Gotta go to her website.
She's got single game tickets. Thank you, Jerry.
Maybe they divvied that up in the paperwork. All right, you get the 3-day tickets. You get the single day tickets. You get the pictures on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's interesting. I'd like to see how that works. All right, anything else here we want to do, or we got to move on to a very busy show?
Let's try Daniel quickly. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, good morning.
What'd it do?
What's crackling in my whistle?
Yeah. And
what you said.
I'm driving down here. I moved to Bakersfield from the Valley. Now I get to listen to you guys. Thank God there's something happened decent in Bakersfield. The new Valley of the Dirt.
It is
we
Valley
appreciate,
of the Dirt,
yeah. We appreciate that. We appreciate being on in Bakersfield. What can we do for you?
I just called to make a comment. I was driving down the street home from work. Long, hard day. And I was talking on the cell phone. And I guess there was a CHD behind me. And they always get behind me without me noticing for some reason. And he lit me up, and when he pulled me over, I told him I was calling 911 to report a drunk driver.
Oh, nice. Good one. Nice. Good one. How'd that go over?
I mean, they got the signs all over the freeway, call 911, right. but don't do it while you're driving. Like, what do they want you to do? You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Yeah, because if you pull over, then you lose sight of the driver, and you may not be able to give the operator the information that would help them find the guy. I think that's a brilliant strategy, as long as the cop doesn't pick up your phone and check to see who you were really calling.
That's exactly what he did.
Yeah!
Oh!
Busted!
I wish I would have just hit 911 real quick.
But nice try. Hey, that was a good effort though. I mean, look,
I would have never thought of that.
No, I wouldn't.
But we will next time.
Well done, well done, Daniel.
All right, Daniel, get her done up there in Bakersfield. Nice job.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Yesterday, Bean had to leave a little early for the radio show, but we have a meeting afterwards handily because he was going to a class in some establishment where they were going to put him up as the speaker. I don't know. I didn't understand why.
Kids? You're talking about kids?
Hold on. Kids what do you mean some class leave? At some establishment? It was a college. I was speaking at Green River Community College. Go Gators. I was speaking in front of them yesterday.
Can you imagine?
No.
What do you mean, can you imagine? It's not like I don't have knowledge on some topics that I can't stand up in front of 50 kids and talk for an hour.
Right, but what you don't have is the ability to understand and access the information in that in the overall group that might be interesting to them.
Oh, you're selling me short, man.
You get up and you go, Pluto! Ah, I have stamps!
7-Eleven.
You guys love 7-Eleven? You live 7-Eleven.
They seem to enjoy the talk. I got some pretty good feedback.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't invited back, if that's what you're asking, but...
Of course not. We also have an author on today. It is Book Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We have Bill Gearhart, and he has written a book called Little Billy's Letters. And it's really funny how you can write letters to people and they won't respond. But if you write as a little kid... In this particular case, 10-year-old Billy.
Oh, really?
It's a writer who moved out to Hollywood. I think he was 30 or something like that. And he started writing letters to politicians and all kinds of different people.
Little Billy?
Yeah, it's Little Billy. So he would write to President Bush and say, you know, my mom and dad say I can't drink till I'm 21. Is there beer for kids? You know, that kind of stuff. And then it's amazing the responses you can get from people if you're a little kid.
That's so cool.
So he printed the letters that he wrote and then the responses that he got from people in this book.
That's very a great funny. Idea.
We have some more Afro calls from a certain singer named Wing.
Ooh, they're still coming in. That's fantastic.
Got three more, Bean.
Oh, that's great. I love it. Best $7 per call we ever spent.
But you know what? As much as we love her, we're going to have to cut her off, I think.
Why?
Just she's leaving too many songs. And we don't
have
that kind
of
recording
that.
Time.
Don't tell her
we
that.
We just need to go.
Is she filling it up?
Yeah, listen. Hey, thanks a lot for that. But we got enough now. We're good. Internet Roundup today.
Okay.
We have Ben McKenzie and Michael Kudlitz who are in Southland.
Yes, that's a great show.
That is a great show. It's one of those rare shows where it was really good, didn't get quite the ratings that it needed, got canceled, then got picked up by another network.
Friday Night Lights.
TNT.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to talk to them today. We have Adam Sessler from G4. He does the television.
No, different Adam, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
does X-Play, talking about video games. Mm-hmm. So we have that coming up as well. We will take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat, and that's...
Ralph Garman joins us now for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
Folks over at LA Inc. yesterday heard us wishing a happy birthday to Kat Von D.
Because she's the best.
Because she's the best.
So we love her.
And I want to give you a heads up. They are currently casting for the upcoming season of LA Inc., a very popular TV show, and so they're looking for some fun people to be tattooed. If you've got an interest, you'd like to be tattooed by Kat Von D, you've got an idea, why don't you give them a shout-out at lainkcasting.com. It's easy to apply. Just go there to the website and tell them what you got going on, and they'll contact you if they're interested. So if you want to be on television and get inked by the legendary Kat Von D, it's just that simple. So I thought I'd give them a shout-out because awesome. They're nice people over there. Well, it turns out that it wasn't an oversight that Farrah Fawcett wasn't included in the memorial montage of the Oscars on Sunday.
Really? Ooh, they discussed it and said no?
Ryan O'Neill, and as well as other people who, were, of course, were close to Farrah, lashed out at the Academy after the what they're calling a hurtful exclusion. And a representative for the show said, you know what? We just can't include everybody.
What?
F wow. you, pretty much, is what they were saying.
They do include everybody.
Said it wasn't an oversight.
They include a publicist and not her.
But there are simply so many people that they can't include everyone, they said.
Really?
So apparently they considered it and opted out.
That is shocking.
They put up like cousins of directors. I mean, they really, wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, Farrah Fawcett and Bea Arthur really are, they should be slapped down for both of those. That's an unacceptable oversight.
Bea Arthur, please.
Bea Arthur, yeah, no one cares whatever.
About no one cares about, but Farrah Fawcett.
Certainly, that's a weird one to leave off.
It was strange.
We thought about
but
it.
Now we know. It wasn't an oversight. They didn't forget.
That horrible James Taylor song maybe just wasn't long enough.
Yeah, maybe.
They could only fit so many celebrities in.
All kinds of stories are coming out about the post-Oscar partying that went on. George Clooney apparently didn't wait until after the Oscars. E! Online is reporting that when he got to the event, people noticed that he had a trusty flask tucked inside his tux pocket.
Hmm.
Occasionally he would pull it out and take a nip. Just to keep the evening lubricated, which I imagine helps the three-hour show go by a little bit if you're having a little cocktail while you're sitting there in the audience. Good for George.
He's at the point where he seems to be miserable in press situations anymore.
He sure didn't look happy.
No, he didn't at all.
I didn't think so either, but he's such an easygoing, fun-loving kind of guy. I'm surprised if he was angry.
Remember when Ralph did that story about how he didn't really do much press for Up in the Air because he doesn't need to be more famous, and he's sick and tired of all the stupid questions about, hey, how's your hair? Why aren't you married? You know, all that kind of stuff. And that was nothing but that for hours on Oscar Day. Yeah, I bet he just hated it.
Jeremy Renner of Hurt Locker said he made a lot of new friends Sunday night after the awards. As you can imagine, Hurt Locker was the big winner of the evening. Said the highlight of the evening for him was when a guy came up, gave him a pat on the back, told him what a great job he did, turned around, it was Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's wow. That's a fun moment.
No kidding.
Yeah. And apparently Anna Kendrick said that while she was at the Oscars there to support her nomination for her role in Up in the Air, she said she forgot to have fun because she was so concerned that her brother and her mom had the time of their life. She brought them as their dates, and apparently she was very concerned that they get to meet everybody they wanted to meet. She was ushering them around and giving them the tour guide treatment. So she was working for her to take care of her family.
She was working that night.
She was working it.
Ralph, late in the show yesterday, we got a hold of one of those post-Oscar parties that was still raging, and we got some pretty good celebrities on the line. We're going to play that for you in about 10 minutes or so for folks who want to hear it.
The Facebook campaign entitled Betty White Should Host Saturday Night Live apparently has worked. It's been announced that Betty White will be appearing on an upcoming episode of Saturday Night Live. She probably won't be hosting, but she will be appearing sometime on Saturday Night Live. Poor Betty. She doesn't deserve that at this stage in her career.
Yeah, maybe she doesn't know.
Shouldn't they treat her better than this?
Saturday Night Live's better than you guys who don't watch it, no.
All right.
Yeah, that's just not true. But I'm glad to see that Facebook, at least, is working. Sure. Because, you know, I've got a Sharktopus page up there. Ralph Garman needs a role in a sci-fi TV movie, Sharktopus.
Yeah, and you got like 8 supporters.
At least. So I'm thinking any day now, I'm going to get that phone call from Sharktopus. Well, not Sharktopus himself.
Sharktopus himself?
He's got, you know, it's hard to work a phone when you've just got giant, you know, 10 tentacles. But
10 phones.
Maybe, or 8.
8.
You know, depending on how many arms an octopus has.
8 or 9.
See, octo. Is the giveaway there in the octopus. Yeah.
Let me make a note.
And I'm thinking they're going to call me, so I'm going to get in there.
All right.
So Facebook apparently is the new way to get cast in Hollywood, which is good.
But Sharktopus could have a hands-free phone, right? That would be all right.
Sure.
Where would he put it?
A little headset.
Put it on his head.
On a shark head.
Doesn't have ears.
Doesn't have ears.
He's a shark.
Doesn't have ears. Doesn't have ears either. Wow, he's horked for making phone calls.
Eight phones isn't enough for you? I guess it is. And the HBO series Luck just got better. I mentioned last week that HBO announced that the new series by David Milch, who is one of the co-creators of NYPD Blue, and also gave us Deadwood and John from Cincinnati. Cuckoo.
Loved.
Had a new series called Luck about horse racing starring Dustin Hoffman.
Oh, that's right.
Just signed to the show as well as actor Nick Nolte.
Wow.
Yeah, that's some pretty high-powered star power for television.
No kidding.
Apparently, Nick will play a horse trainer, thoroughbred horse trainer, and Hoffman plays a gambler who's got an addiction problem who's just been released from prison. He goes back to the track to try his luck, so could be a good show.
That's a world I know nothing about.
Oh, love the
zero.
Track.
Love the races, and there are all kinds of interesting characters and reprobates that hang around that world, so it's a good idea for a series. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Actress Linda Fiorentino is 52 years old today. She was so good in Dogma. You ever see Dogma? She plays the last scion of Jesus. Good stuff. She is 52 years old today. Actor Emmanuel Lewis celebrates his 39th birthday. Actor Kerr Smith is 38. Rapper Chingy.
Yeah!
Chingy is 30 years old today. And rapper Bow Wow celebrates his 23rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Hey, let's talk about Wing for a minute. A lot of people email us and ask, how can I find Wing's music? If you just do a Google search for Wing Music, her website will come up, but it's wingmusic.co.nz. And if you're not familiar with the magic of Wing, here's how she is described on her website. Wing the singer is admired by fans throughout the world for the passion and joy she shares through her CDs and performances of popular songs. With a unique voice and an ever-widening repertoire, Wing loves singing. And she lives to sing. Her goal is to sing beautiful songs as they should be sung, and she spends 3 to 4 hours every day working toward the goal.
Nope.
Her singing teacher helps Wing work on her current repertoire and helps to choose the songs for her next CD. Wing has 16 CDs that are available throughout the world. By the way, Kevin, you know she's been to America. She's played New York at Birdland. She's been and played gigs in San Francisco.
Oh.
Why have we never had Wing on come in live?
We tried.
Because
right?
I think we have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
So we don't, but...
We're a little too low budget for that, I guess.
16 albums, and she's worse than any of the American Idol contestants
How
at the beginning.
How dare you? How dare you? She's an artist.
So we have her call, and she calls the Afro line and leaves the songs. And we also publicized her service, where you can have her call and sing happy birthday to somebody for like $7.
Right.
So the first thing that we have is a listener, a Kevin and Bean listener, mm-hmm. who actually partook of the service. And
oh,
used Wing.
Hey, Jeff Great. And Dean. I got a call last night at 9 p.m. from an unknown number. And I got to tell you, I was starstruck. I had Wing call me. Mm-hmm. My girlfriend set up Wing to call me, and she's singing Beatles. And guys, I got to tell you, I love her. I really do. I love her.
Me too.
Another satisfied customer. How great. I mean, seriously, Kevin, tell me you wouldn't love it.
Oh, of course, because I love bad. You know, I worship bad. But when you hear this next song, you're going to go, yeah, you could give me the shortened version of it. Because while I like bad, I don't want to be tortured.
Oh, okay.
This is Guantanamo Bay stuff here. This is you could break a terrorist with this stuff. Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is her first choice.
Yes. Excellent.
Her first song. Now, that's who did that first? Was that
Beatles? 1967 from Sgt. Pepper, right.
And then did Elton John do it?
Yes.
As well?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
And then Wing. So those are the three.
The biggies.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, Kieran and Bean and Alice. Thank you. Thank you very much for the great support to my singing service. I'm Wing, and so I just can't help continue to sing my best to you. Now, this time, I choose a song which you can clap and sing with me.
I don't want to crap and sing with her.
I think she meant clap.
I think she's
asked us to clap along, I think is what she suggested.
I misunderstood that.
And Lucy in the Sky.
Now, the thing I like about Wing is that she does.
Wow.
She doesn't ever put it in a key that she can sing.
Yeah, she started awfully high.
Right? Like, yeah. This is the lowest part of the song.
Right. So where's she going to go from here?
This is why I want to talk to her singing coach, Bean, because there's somebody who picked this song and said, this is the key for you, go. It's genius. How terrible is this?
Yeah, she's practicing 4 hours a day.
Is it possible that she's actually deaf? Anyone ever think about that? Maybe she can't hear it.
Okay. All right.
One more time.
Are you kidding me?
I am going to crap along now.
That is the first minute of a 23-minute version of that song.
Wow.
Yep. That's
God
why
bless her.
I'm telling you, there's a mad genius behind her.
Totally.
That singing coach that picks the songs, awesome.
He finds the highest thing he can.
Exactly.
That's about.
So she calls back, and she's going to do AC/DC. Now, this is shocking because she actually got the band to play behind her. She actually has AC/DC on the track.
What?
And I don't know how a woman like her with the means would do that. Maybe they find her fascinating, but listen to how real this is.
Hi, here is another AC/DC, Back in Black.
Well, they are Australian. She's in New Zealand. So maybe they just met at a party. Sure sounds just like them. She doesn't skimp on the intros.
No.
Get all of that.
Is this like half as slow as the regular song?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Brutal, right?
Magnificently so.
If you have trouble getting up in the morning, this is... Imagine this wake-up call. Let me know how much you can take. And then we'll move
I've on. Done. I've done. Yeah, that's enough of that one.
Got a lot more. Got more songs.
You know what?
Let me know.
We look at the clock. Wow, it's we burn in daylight.
Are you sure? Because I can do it at any moment. I can bring back.
You know, Oprah's got her book club, Kevin. It's enormously successful. And she'll take a book that just from out of nowhere and turn it into an overnight international bestseller just by talking about it on the show.
That's what we do too, right?
Well, we need to start doing that because I'm telling you, Little Billy's Letters would be the first selection in the Kevin and Bean Book Club. This, you talk about, we know our audience. This is the book that they would like because you can read it on the toilet. It doesn't require a lot of energy or effort. You can get through it in a hurry and it's side-splittingly hilarious on every single page. Little Billy's Letters in stores today. Author Bill Gearhart on the show with us right now. Hey, Bill, welcome to the program. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks. That's the best review I've gotten so far.
Now, your story is that you came out to Los Angeles to write, what, movies, books?
Yeah, screenwriter, basically.
Okay.
But, you know, like so many others, that did not materialize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I improvised. You know, I found a bunch of stamps in a vending machine at my local post office.
That's God giving you a sign, right?
Yeah, so I just decided, you know, let's have some cheap entertainment and send out some letters in the guise of a child. And see what comes back. And,
well,
yeah.
It was a brilliant idea. This is a Bean speaking, Bill, and I write letters to people all the time, and I am shocked at how rarely I ever get a response back from somebody. Now, I don't usually write to celebrities. I usually write to companies and whatnot, and usually I just get ignored. But I think the angle is they get your letter as little Billy, 10-year-old little Billy, and they go, oh, this kid is so cute. We need to respond to so that he's not sad. I mean, do you get the impression that that's why they mail so many back to you?
Yeah, and that was kind of the inspiration for the project because, you know, I had been a big fan of Don Novello's Laszlo Letters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other people have written books as adult characters. And, you know, one of the things in the Laszlo Letters is a lot of the letters receive no replies. So I decided, you know, try it as a child and see what happens. And
so he writes as a 10-year-old to Charles Manson early in the book.
Oh, man.
And he says, I'm thinking of dropping out of school. What do you think of this idea?
that was kind of an experiment. I had this theory that serial killers would be more responsive and thoughtful than celebrities on the topic of dropping out of school. Charles Manson helped me prove my theory.
Yeah, he wrote him back. Charles Manson wrote him back and also wanted him to check out what happened with his L.A. Times
subscription.
He wanted little Billy to look into that for him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Now, were you – I mean, you weren't surprised to hear from Charles Manson then? You kind of figured here's a guy who's got lots of time on his hands. He'll probably write?
Well, by that time, you know, that was a couple of years into the project, and mm-hmm. I had received responses from Clarence Thomas and Dan Quayle and, you know, a lot of other people. So it wasn't that big a surprise. It might have been a surprise to my mailman because sure. Charles Manson has stationery.
He does. He has stationery. It's ridiculous. He also wrote to Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and asked him what his favorite thing at McDonald's is.
he loves the Egg McMuffin.
Egg McMuffin yeah. is the answer, right?
Good to know.
He wrote to Janet Reno, and he wanted to know who she thinks is a better crime fighter, Batman or the Terminator?
What did she have to say?
School. She went to Batman.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, it's just so funny. You would think that some of these people, you know, writing to Vice President Dick Cheney, for instance, you would think that he would be a guy who's just too busy to answer fan mail from 10-year-olds.
Well, I think he was, you know, taken over by Billy's submitting a Desert Storm card for him to sign. You know, yeah. It reminded him of his better days.
What was your success rate like, Bill, when you sent your letters out? What percentage did you get responses back?
Well, the celebrities were pretty slim. You know, like I wrote to the entire cast of 90210 to see if I should drop out of school. And mm-hmm. I got a bunch of, you know, these postcards back, you know, that, did, you know, weren't even really signed. But the people, the public figures like, you know, Dick Cheney, Clarence Thomas, you know, those kinds of people wrote back. Fairly, you know, with, you know, high success rate there.
You wrote to Roman Catholic Church Cardinal Roger Mahoney.
Would yeah. you ask him?
Dear Archbishop, my parents have allowed me to choose my own religion. Could you tell me what's cool about Catholics? My friend Eddie says you drink blood, which sounds pretty cool.
What did the cardinal write back to you, Bill?
Well, he was he actually had one of his emissaries write back and explained, you know, the whole thing with blood. And, you know, he was basically trying to recruit Billy to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Billy went with the atheists.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Billy went for the Scientologists, too, right? Did you write a letter to them?
Oh, yeah. I know you guys love the Scientologists. I heard Mark Headley on your show.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were very aggressive in recruiting little Billy. You know, they said, when you turn, I think they said, when you turn 15, you can come work for the church.
Yeah, you know what that means. It's when you have some money to give. Dear Larry Flint, my parents say I can subscribe to your magazine when I turn 18. That's a long time from now. My friend Eddie asked me to ask you if there's a hustler for kids that wouldn't make my parents mad.
Yeah, you know, Larry Flint, I think, was one of the few people in the book who really got the joke, and he advised little Billy to read the Sears Roebuck catalog until he turns 18.
Yeah, were you surprised how many people... The thing that I found fascinating is when you said something that was inflammatory or ridiculous or out there, most of them would write back and just completely not respond to it.
Yeah, yeah.
They would just write back whatever they wanted to write back. Hey, keep following your dreams, you know, and they wouldn't even respond to what's going on.
Yeah, well, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, I told him that I had been suspended for pinching a little girl's butt, and he was completely oblivious to that. He just sent me a photograph.
But didn't you write, like, I saw you did that too or something?
Yeah.
Here's Billy writing a 7-Eleven, Bean.
Oh, my favorite. Yeah, what do you got?
How old do I have to be to work at 7-Eleven? Do I have to be Indian to work there? My friend Eddie said that.
Eddie's a troublemaker. Eddie's kind of a demon on my shoulder.
Yeah.
We're talking to author Bill Gearhart. The book that we're describing is very funny. We can't really do it justice here, called Little Billy's Letters, in stores and available online everywhere today. One last question for you, Bill. Were you able to make your handwriting look like a 10-year-old, or did you have to hire a little kid to write all your letters for you?
No, first of all, I have very bad handwriting to begin with, and my left-handed handwriting is perfect for a 10-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, how about that? That's funny.
10 and slightly retarded, by the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it looks like, and that's why everybody goes, oh, yeah, it's right back to little Billy.
All right, first selection for the Kevin and Bean Book Club. Check it out today in stores and online. Little Billy's Letters, author's name Bill Gearhart. Bill, we enjoyed having you on the program. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Got a brand new internet roundup for you coming up next half hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll catch up with X-Play host Adam Sessler talking about Assassin's Creed 2 and God of War 3 and Resident Evil 5. The video games are getting crazier with the sequels than all the movies are, but we'll catch up with what's new in video games with Adam coming up. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
This is magic. You know, Hollywood is filled with bogus lawsuits, but this one is spectacular.
Remember the commercial that ran during the Super Bowl initially? It was the E-Trade baby, the new worst E-Trade baby. I like the old one better. But it was him talking to his girlfriend, supposedly, over video web chat.
Right.
And
but it's grown-ups doing the voices.
Right. Yeah. And the girlfriend asks, wasn't that that milkaholic Lindsay over? She's like grilling about other women.
No.
And he goes, what, Lindsay? And then the girl, the little baby girl, sticks her head into the camera and says, milk what? She's like drunk, but on milk, supposedly. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Lindsay Lohan is suing E-Trade.
Yes.
Saying that they are using her name as a parody of her life. By using the name Lindsay for the character.
Was the character's name Lohan as well?
No, Kevin, but many celebrities are known by one name only.
Is she one of
them? Says Lindsay Lohan's lawyer. Like Madonna.
Sure.
And E-Trade is using that knowledge to profit. They are using her name as a parody of her life. Why didn't they use the name Susan? Asks the lawyer. This is a subliminal message. Everybody's talking about it, and everyone is saying it's Lindsay Lohan.
Everybody's talking about it?
Yes, Kevin.
It's the first I've heard of it.
Everyone's talking about it. The minute they said the character's name was Lindsay on that commercial, everyone leapt to the conclusion it was Lindsay Lohan and started talking about it.
Hmm.
Well, because of that, she says Lindsay Lohan is owed $50 million in damages.
Uh-huh. That sounds reasonable.
And another $50 million in compensatory damages. So $100 million is the price tag they will have to pay for mocking Lindsay Lohan with that commercial. And I think now, it's absolutely fair, and I would vote in her on.
Sure. In Lindsay's defense, I always thought of her as a straight-up teetotaler until that E-Trade commercial aired during the Super Bowl. And then I thought, wait a minute, that Lindsay baby is drunk on milk. I bet Lindsay Lohan is a lush, too.
$100 million.
Lindsay needs the money. That's
you be the judge.
I need more money for milk.
Spike TV has picked up a seventh season of Pros vs. Joes. You watch that show over there on the Spike
Occasionally.
TV? It can be very entertaining.
Yeah.
It was better when Petros was the host.
I agree.
Who's hosting it now?
Some dude.
Strahan and Glazer? I know it's Glazer from Fox Sports. And I don't know who his co-star is. It may be Strahan. I don't know. But they have announced that they are beginning taping this week for episodes that will be airing this summer. One episode features a bunch of NFL players who used to play college basketball.
Right.
Playing against a bunch of former NBA players to see if they can hang.
Okay.
So it's Akeem Olajuwon, Kenny Smith, and Rick Fox against Antonio Gates, tight end. Terrell Owens.
Yeah.
Wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Donovan McNabb.
Well, he's clearly the weak link there.
McNabb and Owens on the same team again? I don't think that's a good idea for anybody.
Yeah, that's odd.
There will be fists thrown at some point during the game, and they're on the same team.
And that's not at all what that show's about.
No, I think specialty episode where they want to show, they want to pit athletes who are not playing in their professional sport to see if they can hang with pros from that same sport.
T.O. is sniffing around the Bengals this week. Ralph, I don't know if you've been following that or not, but he apparently is interested in them.
Yeah, he may be interested in them.
Yeah, I don't know
whether they may be interested in him, however, that may be the problem. Kevin Costner considers himself a musician as well as a bad actor.
Sure, he does. Well, a bad actor?
Yeah. Hmm. And he likes to test out his new music, he says, by performing on busy street corners with his guitar.
What?
And if the passerbys enjoy his music, then he says he records it and plays it on tour. But he tries it out for the people first, man. The people. They're his judge.
Come on now.
He's a man of the people.
That would be weird to see Kevin Costner busking out on the street.
Tatanka. Dances with wolves.
Terrible.
Man of the people. He's the postman. He delivers love and music. Yeah, he's crazy.
I know he's got a couple of albums out. He, at least, you know, like Billy Bob, takes it seriously. Whether it's received well or not, I don't know.
And have you been dying to know who's going to replace Samantha Harris on Dancing with the Stars as the Tom Bergeron's co-host?
I don't really.
I know you have been.
Really don't watch
and
that
so
show.
Finally we found out yesterday morning on ABC's Good Morning America.
I just don't care at all.
Tom Bergeron himself stopped by to make the big announcement about who would be replacing his former partner, Samantha.
What a whirlwind of excitement.
It was a whirlwind. Are you ready?
Yep.
You ready for the big name? Brooke Burke. Yeah. Has
truly
been
amazing.
All right.
Not Brooke Burns.
Oh.
But Brooke Burke.
She's hot, right?
She's hot. She's hot also. Brooke's good, right?
She's no Burns, but she's a Burke.
Is she Armo or blonde?
She's Armo.
She's hot.
She's married to that plastic surgeon.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, she's hot. She's not, she's no Burns.
She's not going to make me watch the show.
Brooke Burns.
Yeah.
Brooke Burke. Brooke Burns.
That's a better deal.
Brooke Burns.
What show might I know Brooke Burke from?
She was... good question. What show might... She used to be on E. She had Wild On. Remember the Wild On E?
Wild On.
Where she would travel around all the party places and show you how to party.
Yeah, she was definitely hot.
She was the host of that show, and then she had some other show she was host of, and then... And now this. Which I guess is fine.
Sure.
Don't care.
Yeah, that seems like a good fit. I mean, that's not a crazy job for her.
Are we still talking about Dancing with the Stars?
Talk about Brooke Burns.
Okay.
Brooke Burns. Talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Brittany Snow, actress Brittany Snow, celebrates her 24th birthday today. She is lovely. Bow Wow. Rapper Bow Wow is 23. He used to be Lil Bow Wow.
Right.
Now he's not Lil anymore. He's all girded up. He's not Lil. He's just Bow Wow. He is 23. Chingy celebrates his 30th birthday today. Oh, that's a nice pooper.
I'm sorry?
That's a nice butt right there.
Oh.
We're looking at pictures of Brooke Burke.
I thought you were talking about Chingy.
He is 30. Kerr Smith, who was on Jimmy's Island, that teen show.
Dawson's Creek.
Stevie's Brook.
Dawson's Creek.
Allen's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
Actually giving you the answer.
Don't hear.
Dawson's Creek.
38 years old today. Manuel Lewis, who was Webster on that popular TV series.
Asshole.
Oh, come on. He's Manuel Lewis. He's a little kid, for God's sake. Well, he's 39, but still.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
Kid. He's a little guy.
Yeah, he's very small.
He never grew.
No.
He stayed little.
And he's tinier than
Bow Wow,
you know.
He'd still be little Bow Wow. That's how little he is. And Linda Fiorentino, the lovely Linda Fiorentino. Did you ever see The Last Seduction?
I don't think so.
Great movie, and she's phenomenal.
Yeah, no,
I'd rather you weren't making those noises right now.
She's 52 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman and Walker Showbiz.
Why is Muse so good, by the way? Why is that song still so outstanding? Come on.
Saturday Night Coachella. Can't wait.
I know. All right, listening to the Kevin DeBean Show. Speaking of music, Hey Bean, Boogie writes in on the email. Incubus wasn't really helping me get up, but when I heard Wing singing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds on your show about a half an hour ago, it instantly gave me the boost of energy to immediately slam my alarm clock with my pillow. Please play more of Wing in the morning. It's getting harder and harder to wake up some days. Just ask Kevin. Sincerely, Boogie. So I think that's a good plan. I think Wing in the morning is what you need to get your day started. So I'm glad you enjoyed it, Boogie.
Bean is a man of mystery, and he crazy. And he's got Asperger's syndrome.
Yes.
It's not A-S-S-B-U-R. That would be the best case scenario, but it's A-S-P-E-R.
I don't have that either, by the way.
Right. And yesterday he said, hey, guys, I got to run right after the show because I'm going to teach a class. And we were like,
what?
We were like, whoa.
Back up, mister.
You're going to teach a class.
I was a guest lecturer at a communications class at Green River Community College, go Gators, and they asked me to come down and talk. These are kids, many of them, who are interested in being in radio, and they were looking for some real-world insight on the job and how you get it and what you do.
They couldn't get that, so they invited you.
I had a little talk prepared for about an hour with probably about 40 students in the class, and I think it went pretty well. I think we had a pretty good time.
What was the topic? Did they give you a headline, something to speak about?
No, they actually kind of left it up to me. They have a whole group of speakers that are coming in this month, and everybody picks a topic. So I had an idea of what some of the other teachers were going to be talking about. So I chose to talk a little bit about the FCC. That was my topic, Federal Communications Commission. Kind of the history of the organization and how they operate today, and the history of some of the famous fines throughout the years, stuff that you can and cannot get in trouble with, and it kind of started an interesting discussion then about what should and should not be allowed on radio and television.
Now, when you say interesting discussion, you mean you talked and they...
No, the kids interacted too. I gotta tell you,
themselves from the rafters.
Look, no one hates the kids more than I do. You guys know that, right?
Right.
I'm going to be honest and tell you that I was really impressed with the quality of the students in this class. They were bright, articulate, thinking people. And I don't.
If that was the case, they would have stood up and walked out. Didn't they?
I didn't expect that at all. I thought it was a very good experience, and I had a real nice time. And then, of course, a couple of them took me over to the campus radio station. I got over there to visit KGSG.
He loves that stuff.
Got to stop by and see what was happening there.
Dean has a semi already when he's walking up to that radio station.
I got to play some germs. Got to play some germs on the radio. That was fun.
I'd like to pull a shift if I could.
But I had a. I'll
show you how radio's done.
I don't know why you guys have been mocking me all along as if it's inconceivable that I could stand up and talk for an hour on a topic.
Here is the reason: you have no filter for what other people are interested in.
Right.
Zero filter. So you'll talk about whatever comes to your mind. And they might be wanting to kill themselves, and you have no censor for that. You wouldn't know it. Like, if we were to talk to some of them today, they would probably say, hungover today. I really am not feeling well. I'm calling in sick.
That's not the impression I got at all. They seem to be really interested in the conversation.
Yeah, that's always your impression.
The problem.
That's your impression when we do things for that info bean. That's your impression, is that you're saying things that are interesting. But you never are.
But this was a radio. This was a class of people interested in radio, and I kept it to radio. I didn't go into how beavers hibernate or any other stuff that I'm interested in. I just talked about the topic they were studying.
I'm going to give you one more chance to tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you before you answer that the K-Rock microphones were there. Now, tell me again what you said.
What do you mean? What do you mean the Kevin and Bean microphones were there?
You heard me.
Meaning you have a recording of the election?
Yes. Now, how would you like to tell us
how
about
did it really
now?
Go?
How did it really go?
Yeah, come on.
How did
tell the truth.
I thought it went pretty well.
Not well, but you stayed on topic, and you talked about the FCC, and you were very interesting to the students.
I think so, yeah.
And they were very interested in what you had to say?
I would say that they all stayed awake and participated when we had our group discussion, yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Professor Bean from whatever... BS.
Green River Community College, Auburn, Washington.
That had him in for the one and only time that they will ever have him in.
All right, students. Our special guest speaker today is Bean Baxter. He is a host of a morning radio show, which is syndicated throughout the country. And I brought him here today so we can talk about broadcasting in the FCC. So if you please give your attention to our guest speaker, Mr. Bean Baxter.
All right.
Good start.
I am not a big fan of the FCC, because the first letter F is the sixth letter in the alphabet, and then C is three, and then the other C is three. That's 633. Those numbers are ugly. Who would put a six next to two threes? Although, two threes do add up to six. It's an even number with two odd numbers. I would so not like to have that in my phone number.
What are you talking about?
Did you know that Rich Uncle Moneybags from Monopoly was renamed Mr. Monopoly in 1999?
Why
is funnel cake so good? In the average lifetime, a person will walk the equivalent of five times around the equator. The most common name in the world is Mohammed. The first known contraceptive was crocodile dung, used by the Egyptians in 2000 BC. The word nerd was first used by Dr. Seuss in the book If I Ran the Zoo. The most money ever paid for a cow at auction was $1.3 million. There are 10 human body parts that are only three letters long. Eye, hip, arm, leg, ear, toe, jaw, rib, lip, and gum. Elephants are the only mammals that can't jump. Kansas law requires pedestrians crossing highways at night to wear taillights on their rear ends. The elephant is the only animal with four knees. There are twice as many kangaroos in Australia as there are people. Charlie Brown's father was a barber. The earliest recorded case of a man giving up smoking was in Turku, Finland, in 1679. Hello? Hello? Is anyone else here? Are we still on for next week?
Yeah, I was wrong. You were right. You had him in the palm of your
hand.
See,
I told you.
Nicely.
Is Audio Slave one of the bands you broke up, or do they do it on their own? I can't remember. I can't keep track of all the groups that you dispel.
It was not me.
Wasn't you, Audio
Slave.
All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, how about another edition of Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup?
Timing. Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
So you go to kevinandbane.com. You click on Internet Roundup. And all of today's videos will be featured there. You can just click on the link and watch it right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's one-stop shopping if you're looking for crazy internet stuff to view.
If you go to the bottom of that page and you click on more, it'll show you all of the ones that we've put up in the last, who knows, year or something. So there's a ton of them on there. There's also Stupid King of Mexico. Bean, we need to have a conversation off the air about Stupid King of Mexico in this cute corner.
Is he still talking about doing that?
No, I love that idea.
He's not talking about doing it. He's doing it.
He should do it.
He has like a, some kind of a dog pushing a stroller today, Bean.
I think it's a pug.
It's embarrassing.
Cute.
Can he do that?
Dave is the guy. In case you're wondering, who are these people who give YouTube videos of a kitten dancing 30 million views?
Yes.
It's Dave over and over again. He's the guy who is obsessed with those cute animal videos.
Right, but can't we override him? I mean,
keep those off the website somehow?
Do we need a cute corner? I don't think so.
No, I don't think we do.
All right. The first one that we want to feature today is a commercial for Staples, and we would just like to say we know this dude. He's a friend.
Yep.
And we're sorry about this whole thing.
Wow! That's a low price! Wow! That's a low price! Wow! That's a low price!
Yeah, that happens about for 30 seconds, and then...
That's our friend Ben, who longtime listeners of the Kevin Bean Show will recognize when we have Shaquille O'Neal on this program. He's the guy who does Shaq Force. He's one of Ralph Garman's closest friends, and just love the guy to death. He's appeared in tons of commercials and tons of TV shows. Now he's on Broadway now, very successful. But it is so funny when you see him screaming at you on your TV.
Yeah, because he's so low-key.
Yeah, in real life, right?
Not him at all. The Shake Weight. I don't know if you've seen
Shake Weight.
The Shake Weight.
That is legal porn. That's what that is.
The Shake Weight is like a dumbbell, but there's an end on each side of it, and it kind of moves back and forth. And the way that they have the girls doing it is quite suggestive of other things.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is the commercial for that.
The Shake Weight is based on a completely new workout technology called dynamic inertia, which ignites the muscles in your arms, shoulders, and chest, so you feel them tightening and toning instantly.
Yeah, and it looks,
mm-hmm. Hey, I feel something tightening and toning when I watch the Shake Weight commercial. She just grabs a hold of that with her hand and
both hands, just
shaking it up and down. It's crazy that's allowed.
It really is just.
It's a workout.
It's a workout that's actually porn. Guys,
yeah.
Because the girls are hot that are doing it, you go, wow, that looks like something else.
It's a thinly veiled workout is what it is.
Men can do it as well.
Would you like to get your arms ripped, your shoulders pumped, and your chest sculpted? Do you hate working out for hours at the gym with big bulky equipment or boring slow dumbbells? Then you're ready for the Shake Weight for Men.
You hear the music underneath it?
Bow, bow, that, bow, bow, bow.
Come on.
You got Mike's attention.
Those boring dumbbells.
Yeah.
Really?
When you can just shake your way to fitness.
Are you looking for excitement from a dumbbell? That's a problem with you. I don't know if you saw this past Saturday Night Live. I did not. I don't watch that show. But Zach Galifianakis is one of my favorite actors.
Oh,
he's great.
He's so great.
Bean let me know who he was before The Hangover. And unbelievable.
Yeah, people probably know him best from The Hangover. He's the kind of tubby guy with the beard who ended up with the baby. He had a short-lived talk show on VH1 for a while, but he is just a brilliant stand-up comedian. And I was very impressed on Saturday Night Live, especially with the monologue, that they actually kind of let him do his crazy out-there comedy. They didn't kind of restrict him to what they normally do on SNL. But he had a couple of very funny appearances this past weekend.
And one of them was a SNL digital short, which is him just showing up on the set of other shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like behind a news anchor, he walks, just waves, you know, and they're shooting Law and Order, and he walks up behind them, and he's talking on the phone.
Yeah.
It might have been a few, I think.
You're talking to a bad guy. How you doing? Is this part of the show?
It's Law and Order.
Freeze! Yeah, right here. I'm with him right now. Hold on one second. It's my Aunt Louise.
All right, look, take it back from the top.
Anthony!
Pew! Yeah, you don't expect to see Zach show up on Law and Order
while they're trying to shoot the show. It's very funny. He does it in about 5-6 different places, and it's very funny. I don't know if you have seen Chat Roulette.
Mm-mm.
Chat Roulette is a place where guys who want to show off their junk go.
And basically,
That's not the intention. That certainly has how what has ended up happening.
It may not be the intention. It's video chat, but it's random. So basically, you hit a button, and someone somewhere shows up on your video chat. You can see you. You can see them.
Okay, so it's just random.
75% of them. 75% of them.
Yes.
Are guys showing their junk?
I hope that's an exaggeration, but it might not be. That might be actually accurate. But yeah, you click a button, and if you don't like the person that you see or don't want to talk to them, you just click the next button, and you're on to somebody else. But it has become a sensation in the last few months, and people all over the world are doing it.
Daniel Tosh did a piece on it. John Stewart, who's awesome, did a piece on Chat Roulette, and he goes on it and actually finds people that he knows.
Oh, my God, Jason Jones! No! Jason, no! What are you doing?
I think he's a reporter on his show, Jason Jones.
I think so, too.
What's it look like I'm doing, John?
I'll tell you what it looks like you're doing, but then...
John, relax. I'm playing Wii Craps.
Oh, God, thank you.
He was scared for
while I masturbate.
No! Oh, next! Next! Katie Couric, you too?
Hey, John, you know what? You would be the perfect interview for a piece I'm doing on Chat Roulette.
Okay, well, do it. Let me just...
Okay, I'm just going to toss to it. Great.
Okay, all right.
I'm Katie Couric. There's a new place where creeps like to dwell. It's called Chat Roulette, and it's home to some of the most deranged criminal perverts I've ever seen in my many years of broadcasting. One of these vile creatures has actually agreed to an interview. John, that's your part.
Next! No! What are you doing?
John, relax. It's wee butter churn.
All right.
While I masturbate.
No!
It's a very funny piece. And Brian Williams from NBC News shows up, and all sorts of people show up on the thing. Keith Olbermann is in it. John Stewart is the best.
And Aziz Ansari, by the way, who does the character Randy.
Yeah.
Randy with 8 A's.
Does declare war on Justin Bieber as well, gets shot in the knee. So that happens.
That's
and awesome.
It's about
funny.
Time somebody tried to bring down that punk.
So go to KevinAndBean.com and look up Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean, Internet Roundup.
Two of the stars of the TNT hit Southland join us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph will be along with the Showbiz Beat 2. You know, the most watched gaming show, perhaps in television history, Kevin, is X-Play on G4. We're always excited to welcome our friend Adam Sessler, the host of the program, back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Adam, how are you, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
We're doing great. I know you're on location. We have many questions for you, but I have to ask because I've been burning up with this one since the last time we had you on. You're a co-host, Morgan, who's so hot and loves video games so much. How much does she get hit on? She's like the perfect woman, right?
Yeah, but she knows how to keep people at bay.
She's good at it?
Yeah. Sometimes she'll just say, I'm not Morgan Webb. And then it just confuses them, and they go wandering off into a certain funky haze.
I like it.
So it that sounds like a man speaking who's been stiff-armed a few times by his co-host. That
no,
sounds like
Adam is a professional.
No, nothing like that.
All right, what are you doing in San Francisco today?
Well, I'm up here for the Game Developers Conference. It's not the same thing as E3 at all. It's not big and flashy and all about how well the industry is doing. What it is all the people who make video games, the young people that want to get into making video games, kind of get together, everyone sort of talks, and you learn about new ideas and how games that came out last year were made and where the problems were. But then at the same time, there's a lot of people showing off a lot of video games, because when you put a lot of gaming press in one place, people start to show us stuff.
Sure.
Of course, yeah. And it's amazing how many, it's getting to the point now where a lot of weeks there are so many video games coming out that it's kind of tough to keep track of them all anymore.
Oh, no, this year is one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. I've been playing a new game every week in January and February. I've never done that before. Usually I'm trying to find old games I never finished, pull them out to keep me occupied, and now it's like I can't even keep pace.
Now, what are the big ones that are already out?
There's a couple big ones that are already out. One I want to point out, because we rarely talk about sports games on the show, there's one that's for the Sony PlayStation 3 called MLB 10 The Show. It is amazing looking. If you stand about 5 feet away from that television, you'll think that you are watching a regular baseball game on live TV.
So it's boring?
Yes.
How dare you? How dare you? And you tell me about this game, though. You can play offense and defense as a baseball player in this game?
Yeah, you play offense and defense. You can even, play the catcher. if you really want a less than enthusiastically exciting time.
You just got Psycho Mike's attention playing the catcher. And, of course, there's a home run derby and all the other stuff. So MLB 10, the show, is out right now. Isn't today also Final Fantasy, the latest round of that?
Yes, Final Fantasy 13, the long-lasting series of Final Fantasy. All the fans of this series can't stand me because I've made fun of it over the years. And people who are very passionate about Final Fantasy tend to also be very emotional.
Right,
as
sure.
Well.
And unstable as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the 13th version. I have not personally played it, but Rob Manuel, who works on our staff, took this on, spent about 50 hours playing the game, which led to probably the first time I've ever heard in my career that someone says it gets really good after the first 30 hours.
Wow! They might want to speed that up.
Yeah.
30 hours!
Yeah, the game... Typically, it's a little bit more open, and you can kind of find your own path, go do a side mission over there.
Right.
And in this one, it's very straight and deliberate because they want to tell the story. Now, if you're into the stories in the Final Fantasy games, you probably need to read other books. But if you're really into those stories, then you'll probably go for this one. But if you like more the gameplay where you get to make your own path, you don't get that until 30 hours. Into Final Fantasy 13.
All right. I know a lot of people, I mean, obviously we're at the 13th version, so a lot of people have embraced Final Fantasy. It doesn't sound like it's your particular type of favorite game, Adam.
No. The Japanese RPGs were something that I liked when I was young, and as I grew up, they didn't grow up with me. And they tend to sort of become sort of fixated on sort of adolescent existential crises and people going, a lot of the time. And
I'm sorry, what's the noise? Okay.
Right. Yeah, with that anime with the big eyes and the mouth open.
Sure.
And they really just... They don't hold my attention that much anymore. Probably because if I'm not an adolescent, I don't want to hang out with any.
All right, let's talk about next week, God of War 3.
Yes. Now, this game, this is a big daddy adult game. It's absolutely awesome. If you've liked the first two, you definitely need to play this. It takes what was good about the first ones and just makes it absolutely perfect. It's also the most astonishing-looking game I've seen. The first 45 minutes... are just this roller coaster ride of, you know, fighting a god while you're on the back of a massive titan climbing Mount Olympus.
It's my real life.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's also the most violent game I've ever played.
Is this normal that it's only available on PS3?
Well, yes. The God of War series has only been a Sony game, and this is how Microsoft and Sony and Nintendo try to sell their systems, is that they have their own internally developed games that are unique to that system, and that's supposed to be the incentive of why I buy a 360 over a PS3 or Wii over a 360.
All right, we already have time for one more game, and I'm going to phrase it like this question. Are there any video games I can play if I want to befriend Leonardo da Vinci?
Yes. Yes, there are. Assassin's Creed 2.
Assassin's Creed.
Coming out next Tuesday.
Yes, Assassin's Creed 2, the first version of it, it came out back in November of last year, and it's a phenomenal game, especially because I actually learned things in the course of playing it.
I don't want that.
It takes place
in...
I know, there's learning. There's learning that happens. They have been releasing some new downloadable content for the game, and I believe it's now also available on the PC. Really, there is no other game out there like the Assassin's Creed series, and if you're into games, it's probably the most intelligently written and thoughtful series that's out there.
So, Kevin, you're out on Assassin's Creed.
How dare you? How dare you?
You can keep up with all that's happening in the world of video games so much more than we had time to discuss with Adam Cecily here on his TV show X-Play, which airs on the G4 Network at a new time now, weekdays at 6:30 Eastern. So for West Coast viewers, first shot at 3:30 and then it'll repeat throughout the evening. Is that right, Adam?
Yes. There's mini replays of X-Play. It's a good thing.
All right. Fantastic. Have a great time there at the convention in San Francisco. As always, we love having you on the Kevin Devine Show, man. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Be careful, Ralph. There's a couple of LAPD in the next room, man, so watch what you say here.
I'll tell you something. Cudlitz scares me normally on the television.
Right.
He plays John Cooper, the training officer in Southland, which really is one of my favorite shows on television.
Michael Cudlitz, right. Yeah. You were just saying you could kick his ass, weren't you?
No, I was saying that I was scared. Right? I said he scares me on television.
Right.
Now he's in the next room, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure he's an axe murderer.
Right, but you said you were going to take him down a couple of notches. You were going to show him what's up, right?
Well, he's got that bad back and all. He's got that addiction to pain pills. And I think he's gay.
Yeah. Michael Cutlitz and Ben McKenzie from Southland, Tuesdays at TNT at 10 o'clock, are going to be joining us coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat and something free for Kevin and Bean listeners today.
I've got a 4-pack of tickets and after-party passes.
Wow.
To the red-hot world premiere of Hot Tub Time Machine. here in Hollywood, California. How about that?
This
How
looks
do you like
awesome.
Me now? Looks very funny.
I think it looks funny.
John Cusack hasn't been funny in a while.
I know, that's scary.
Time.
That scared me.
That scared you.
I mean,
I think he's hilarious.
He was in the hilarious 2012, though.
I've been waiting for him to be funny again. Yeah. He hasn't been funny since Gross Point Blank, as far as I can remember. Anyway, yeah, if you want to go to the world premiere, and you want to go to the after party and hang with the celebs and whatnot, four pack of tickets.
It's all good, man. We're still going to have the after party.
That's right. We're still going to have the after party. Five winners will get these tickets. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. First five callers through get a four pack of tickets to this very special event. I'm pretty cool.
That's not you, really. As much as it
is. Who gave it? Who gave it out?
Time machine.
I did. Thank you. Talk about showbiz news, shall we?
Do it. Hello!
Jeff Bridges celebrated his victory after the Oscars on Sunday by hanging out at a dive Los Angeles bar, according to the New York Post, and playing the piano that was sitting in there. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
If you're sitting at the bar, having yourself a cocktail, in walks Jeff Bridges with his Oscar tucked under his arm, sits down, starts tickling the ivories.
Did he have anything to say?
Thank you, man! That's what he said. That seems so Jeff Bridges, doesn't it?
Yeah. It really
it
does.
Sure does.
Is he crazy or just a genius or both?
He's the greatest thing ever.
Right, but is he crazy?
No, he's not crazy.
There are a lot of people who I love that
he
are genius.
Lives a very relaxed lifestyle.
That are pretty crazy as well.
I would have to say, at all the years you've been on this show, Ralph, about the most excited I've ever seen you is the day Mr. Bridges stopped by for dinner.
Well, he is one of my heroes, and...
Yeah.
He is the
and
dude.
He was holding, if I recall.
And he was holding. And he is like one of the biggest stars we've ever had on the show.
Yeah.
You know? He's not a big star in terms of like George Clooney, like on the cover of People magazine, big star. But in terms of an actor, for the past 40 years, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who was in as many great movies and has given as many great performances as he has. I was just really blown away by him. And then on top of it, he couldn't have been nicer when he came in.
Nicest guy in the world, absolutely.
And
he's the dude.
No one higher at the Oscars, no one.
Stop it. Woody Harrelson was so much higher.
I don't think he was high.
So much higher.
Oh, you don't think he was high?
I don't think Jeff Bridges was high at all.
Why do you say he was high? Because I've heard him give acceptance speeches before where he doesn't say man every other word.
Because he was shocked. He was blown away. I think mentally he was checked out. He was overwhelmed.
That could all be true, but he
wasn't high.
High.
He was not high.
He just, 40 years in the business, he just won the freaking Best Actor Oscar. He's allowed to be a little off the rails up on stage accepting his speech.
He was emotionally moved, I think.
And some of it was that. Some of it was that he was thinking about his mom and dad, who aren't around to see it anymore, who got him started on the acting career.
And
I think he was just overwhelmed and emotional. That's all.
Listen.
No, he's not paid.
Listen, granola bars. Not everybody lives their life like you do, okay?
Come on, he seemed high. That's
not
all
everybody
saying.
Has to get baked to sleep and baked to go to work and baked to drive.
Some of us do.
Baked to bake.
Some
know?
Of us do.
Come on, man.
Do not judge.
Coming down on the bridge.
Thanks, man. The bridge.
Another high moment in the Oscars was the John Hughes, of course, tribute.
That was nice.
If you were alive in the 80s, you were affected by a John Hughes movie at some point in your life, whether it was Home Alone or The Breakfast Club or Ferris Bueller.
He's done some of the best movies ever.
He really
some
has.
Some Kind of Wonderful, Pretty in Pink. None of them, not ever, one time, was he ever nominated for an Oscar for writing or directing or anything either.
But he looks moved when they gave him his tribute Sunday night. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
He was a little late. But the good news is, it may have thrown a little work John's way, even posthumously. Yeah. He apparently had a screenplay that had been floating around for years called Grisby's Go Broke that no one really was interested in, but someone saw the tribute on Sunday night, picked it up, read it, because they were thinking of John Hughes, and now apparently it looks like it's going to be produced.
Hmm.
His last screenplay will now be produced.
What does that guy have to do to get people's attention? How does he write us? That guy writes a screenplay and everybody goes, eh.
The Oscars has to give a tribute to.
Huh.
So Grisby's Go Broke looks like it'll actually be produced. It's a comedy about a wealthy Chicago family that loses everything and is forced to move out to the sticks. And in this current economy, it may be more relevant than when John Hughes actually wrote it, so...
He did Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, too, right?
Automobiles.
Whatever
did.
That's called.
Yes.
That's one of my favorites.
One of the funniest movies ever made.
Yep,
absolutely.
Where's your other hand? Between two pillows?
Those aren't pillows?
Those aren't pillows! And lastly, Cirque du Soleil is taking over Las Vegas. They can't.
Isn't
can't,
that
can't
the
put
truth?
Up a flop there, I'll tell you. Everyone, there must be seven of them running now, and everyone is packed every night.
Yeah. Are they the ones that were doing the breakdancing for the Hurt Locker music at the Oscars?
No,
that was about?
That was the
that
Extraordinary
stop?
League of
that?
Dancers.
Oh.
They were doing the robot to the Up theme music, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, what was that interpretive dance BS
all about? I don't know.
Of all the places they're going to cut stuff, why don't they cut that?
That's what I'm saying. I agree.
And, And they already cut the performances that are traditionally held on the Oscars of the best song nominees being performed. They didn't have room for that, yet they had room for Hurt Locker Electric Boogaloo 2.
The theme, though, for Hurt Locker, super, super, super just down, like sad Schindler's List type music. This is it! And the dude was popping and locking.
A whale singing another whale, I think.
The dude was popping and locking. I was like, how do you break dance to this music?
Because they're the League of Extraordinary Dancers,
right?
Where was I? Cirque du Soleil. Wow, yeah, that was a left.
Yeah,
that was
sorry.
A U-turn.
My bad.
They're taking over in Las Vegas. You know, they got the Beatles' Love, which is wildly successful. They just opened Viva Elvis, which standing room only to get tickets for that thing. And they just announced the latest Cirque du Soleil show in Vegas is Michael Jackson's music, based on the life and music of Michael Jackson.
Yes.
They're in the early stages of working out the deal with the Jackson family. But apparently the show should be ready by 2011, says the Cirque producer.
Oh, write that in.
And so you circle your calendars. You get to see the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show.
Not so easy, is it?
No, it is not. In 2011. And how do you make a circus about a guy's life who was already a circus? His life couldn't be any more Cirque du Soleil than it already was with him with the Sgt. Pepper uniforms and dancing with a monkey and swinging from a tree writing songs. Come on. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Linda Fiorentino is 52 years old today. Emmanuel Lewis, who was Webster on the classic television series, is 39 years old. Chingy celebrates his 30th birthday today. Actress Brittany Snow is 24 years old. And rapper Bow Wow, not a little Bow Wow any longer. He is 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Southland is on TNT. Have you heard the word? Tuesday nights at 10, another new episode tonight. We're very excited to welcome back onto The Kevin and Bean Show, Ben McKenzie, and welcome for the first time, Michael Cudlitz, both stars from Southland. Hey, guys, how are you?
Very well. How are you?
We're doing good. Great. Good to see you. Ralph, are you happy now? Finally?
I'm pretty excited, guys. I have to tell you, this show is one of my favorites, and I was so pissed off when NBC gave you guys the axe initially. I was afraid we weren't going to see you anymore. And now here.
Well, at least it was for Jay Leno, so you got the same kind of action.
It was for the Noble Experiment. We do have to give NBC
that. That's not for him.
That was a direct result, right? They canceled you for Leno.
Yeah, because they had no 10 o'clock,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we were on at 10 o'clock in the spring of 09, and then they moved Leno to 10, and they tried to move us to 9, and then they watched the episodes that we made, which are a little rough.
A little rough for 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. And they said, oops, we can't put these on. We thought, well, we did send you the scripts when we were about to make them, so I don't know why you're figuring this out.
This is not a surprise.
2 weeks before we premiere. But it's all in the past. TNT has been fantastic. They put a lot of muscle behind the show, and it's doing great on TNT. So, you know, it worked out better for us in the long run.
Well, tell me about that. When you get canceled for whatever reason, usually if you're on a TV show and they pull the plug, you're done. Was there some period of time where you thought, well, that's it, Southland is never coming back anywhere anytime, we're over?
I think Michael responded pretty much immediately via tweet.
Yes, right?
Michael?
Did.
Yeah, No. Ben and I were on set when we got the news. We were going from one location to another, and in the conversation where they canceled us, the producers also said, we're already in the works to try to move it somewhere else.
Oh, no
kidding. So keep driving.
Oh, yeah.
We kept going. Right?
Yeah, continue to the next location.
We shot for the rest of the week because we had to finish out the episode, which is always a fun thing.
Sure.
You know your show's being canceled.
Yeah. Why are we doing that?
And it's so strange because from about 12 minutes into the show, everybody's just angry.
Right.
Like, why are they so angry?
Some of your best work in that episode.
Exactly. Do it again. Why? Why?
I don't want to do it again.
I really felt the tension in that episode. It was amazing. These actors are great.
So what was the deal? Was TNT just standing by? They were just already fans of the show, and they swooped in as quickly as possible to get it? Wow.
Yeah, Michael Wright over at TNT, this is my understanding, was a huge fan of the show from the beginning. And when he heard that it was going down, he immediately contacted John Wells and Warner Brothers and said, let's try and figure something out. And there were some other people involved at the time, so that's why it took a little bit longer. But from the beginning,
that's cool.
They were fans of the show.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Southland for folks who haven't seen it, because let's face it.
We don't want to talk about it.
There's no shortage of police dramas on television, but yours is a little different in that it's one of the few that's like really kind of gritty.
Yeah, I mean, what I think the thing that separates it, first and foremost in my mind, is that we're trying to make it look like the show Cops, the reality show Cops. So you're going to get a more visceral kind of a thing. It's going to be...
A lot of white trash people fighting?
Yeah, white trash people fighting. That's what we're going for.
that's what Michael's look is today.
But you guys, you know, it's got to be kind of daunting to go into a project and say, we're going to do a cop show. As it's been done a thousand times, poorly sometimes.
Yeah, it is. You're right. But when you only have three options, cops, doctors, and lawyers. Yeah. As an actor, you're like, I'm going to do the cop show.
Pretty good.
No. But John Wells, who obviously produced ER and The West Wing, you knew going in there was a pedigree to the show that was going to make it unique. Whether it was going to work or not, you never know. But I think what we're going for in the show is a very realistic, you know, gritty feel, being on location, on the streets of L.A., in the real cars, real uniforms. Yeah. And I don't know, it has a different feel.
I noticed in the very first episode when you guys dropped out the F word instead of coming out with you friggin' bastards or you freaking bastards, I knew it was going to be a different kind of show. It was a lot more realistic and a lot more, street than any other cop show I had seen before.
Yeah, and now that we're on cable.
Yeah. Oh,
we can do it, right?
On floor, baby. Yeah.
Bring it on.
We still can't do the F-bomb.
Have you tried?
They bleep it out. Which I also think is part of the, the conceit of the show is that it does for, I think, for a split second, you're subconsciously, when you see something bleeped out, you think, oh, they did something they're not supposed to do, which makes it even more of sort of a documentary feel. Right. You're like, oh, this is actually, we're watching news footage to a degree. Right. We're not the news, but I think, viscerally and subconsciously, you feel that, and it gives more sort of credibility to the moment.
Well, it's that Cops thing again. It feels like Cops because they always have to do that on that show.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I would so rather have you use that word and have it beep than try to, like,
freak.
Yeah.
Freaking D-bag.
That just ruins it for me. I hate that.
Yeah.
Fracking. Guys,
fracking. Get into fracking ground. Now!
Mister, did you guys hang out with or ride with LAPD before making the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the time.
Tell me about that. Tell me what you learned in that experience.
You guys will never get a ticket again, will you?
No, bastards. We've already gotten one since. But such not a funny story.
Sounds funny to us.
Yeah, everyone's like, why didn't you use the cards you have? And I'm like, I'm saving the cards for something big.
Can you have a card? I gave you a card?
I have so many cards from like 20, different 30, officers. Yeah.
I'd like a card.
I'll give you a card.
You have extra today?
I do. I'll give you a couple.
All right, then.
Don't worry.
Excellent.
The ride-alongs were pretty fantastic. I think... I highly recommend, actually, that somebody, everybody at some point in their lifetime do a ride-along if you're able to, because you will get an understanding of what goes on in law enforcement like you've never had before.
Let's take a call. We have Kevin, who's an LAPD officer, who's calling in.
You lock! Is he the one who gave him the ticket?
No.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Man. Good. I just wanted to call. I'm an LAPD officer, and I wanted to commend the both of you for doing a good job and representing it in a realistic fashion. It kind of reminds me, as a child, I watched Adam 12. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that show.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's like a more gritty, more up-to-date version of that. And I just wanted to say thank you.
Wow, that's cool.
Awesome. Thank you.
Also,
thank you.
Also wanted to say that Michael's reactions to some of the ridiculousness that we face every day on the streets are spot on. I love it.
The poor bastard last week who was at the yellow light who didn't go through.
That's right.
In front of your patrol car last week. I said, oh, that poor bastard. He's got cutlets coming at him.
What is wrong with you? Yellow's not stopped.
Guys wanted to die.
Ben and I, we do get some of the most the most fun stuff. Ben, just ridiculous.
Well, thank you for including. You get the best lines.
Yeah,
man.
But it's every but time the, I read the situations script, like, oh, we come to oh, is yeah, just yeah. really we yeah. We're just we're so excited whenever we read the actual cop stuff stops. Yeah, I mean because it's just Ann Bitterman is just phenomenal at putting these stories down.
Yeah.
All right, we have to take a quick break. We'll come back with the stars of Southland. By the way, now on TNT, if you haven't heard the word Tuesdays at 10, another new episode tonight. We'll find out what that's all about with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Ben McKenzie and Michael Cudlitz from the TV show Southland, Tuesday nights at 10 on TNT in our studio on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. You got your Bones on tonight just before you, CSI New York just after you, all new Southland in the middle. That's a pretty good primetime lineup right there.
Oh, yeah.
TNT doing a
I love
good
Bones.
Job. Ralph, you got a clip here, I think, from last week's show. You want to set it up?
Yeah, I'm just a little concerned. This is me geeking out on the Southland thing, because Michael plays John Cooper, who is sort of the training officer for Ben Sherman, Ben's character. And last week, you got into the next stage of your probation, I guess, Ben, where you get to go out for your own for the first time, right?
Yeah.
You get to drive in your own squad car.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm concerned, like, the old team's going to be splitting up here, because there seems to be a bit of tension between you two.
Tension. There's always tension with John Cooper. John Cooper lives in a tension-filled environment.
You know what? If the kid would just shut his mouth and pay attention, we wouldn't have problems.
And no, he's not talking about the show. He's just talking about me personally. Yeah.
Is he on pain meds in real life, too, Ben, like he is on the show?
Oh, he, no, you know, far worse. He's on far worse.
That's what the attitude.
See, I told you, he's scary.
Oh, let's be nice. We're going to promote your show, and then we got this guy next to me.
He said he'll kick your
pain
ass.
Meds.
We got a clip of these two guys in the squad car, speaking of which.
I want to clear something up. I'm not an addict. I'm not one of these people like your mother's friends up there in Beverly Hills with their ennui and their Vicodin and their white wine. I have an on-duty back injury.
You don't have to explain anything.
That pain medication allows me to stay on the streets or I lose my field certification. I can't be out there. You might as well put a bullet in my head. I'll put a bullet in your head.
Oh boy,
that was great.
Put a bullet on him.
Drama queen. Well, what was nice about that was that in the show, like, the last scripted line is your line.
Yeah,
and they just kept rolling, and I was like, oh, I'll say whatever I want to say.
Leave
he
him.
Turned his back. My character.
Leave would, him.
Yeah.
He has noticed. I turned my back. Yeah. Yeah. To my face. Bonk.
No.
Out of the guts. If you're looking at him, yeah, that's the way you're walking away.
I think they're going to keep us together in a car for quite
sure
a long time.
So.
Yeah.
I think. Not to get too philosophical or sweet, but I think we need each other.
Aww.
As characters.
Aww. Aww. Are you guys going to kiss? Because that would be weird.
Me?
You're just a big teddy bear. You're not scary at all. What a great character, though, for you to play, because Cooper is a little dependent on the pain meds. He's got the back issue, and then he's got this whole private life that he isn't really very
forthcoming about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. All these characters are so multi-leveled. And Bitterman's just done a phenomenal job, and yeah, he's got a lot going on, as do all the characters. So I think that for the audience, it's pretty phenomenal to see each week these little sort of layers get peeled back, and you get to know these guys and these gals, and it's really cool.
And I thought it was genius too initially to have Ben's character be sort of representative of the audience. He kind of takes us into this world. You know, you dip your toe in the shallow end first, and before you get immersed, you kind of get introduced to everyone at a much more easy pace than a lot of shows that kind of throw you in, and you have to sort of accept the world immediately. I think through Ben's eyes, we kind of learn a lot about as we go along.
Right. And that device of having the novice come in and sort of be the eyes and ears of the audience is like well-traveled, but in this case, it's kind of cool because he would be, if he's a rich kid like my character coming from Beverly Hills and entering the force, obviously he is a complete fish out of water. He wouldn't know what the heck's going on. And that's easy for me to play because I don't know what the heck's going on.
Well, yeah, but which is great too, because then we don't have to explain a lot of stuff to the audience because you are seeing it through his eyes. And if you do, the more you don't understand, it's almost better because he doesn't understand. So if he doesn't understand and you don't understand, you all just go, okay, I guess I'm not supposed to understand. So
what if
just,
I don't understand what he doesn't understand?
Doesn't matter. Which is very
then
likely.
You just come along for the ride.
Okay.
imagine how eye opening it is for a rookie police officer, though, because you go through the academy and you know how things are supposed to go, and it's fine in the lab. But once you get out onto the street in a real world situation with real crooks who maybe don't play the way they're supposed to, all of a sudden, you know, you gotta improv, and it just must be shocking. First few years of being a cop, every day is just so eye-opening, I would imagine.
Absolutely. And next episode, not to give it away too much, Michael lets me go off on my own completely. And it is. It's that situation where you've been taught so many different things. He probably knows the handbook backwards and forwards.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
real life doesn't conform to any of those rules, and he's just completely...
So you just pull your gun on everybody you come across?
You just kill them all.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, the rookies are the most prone to do things that overreact to situations.
I said I wanted a large Slurpee!
You know, the veterans tend to take things more with a grain of salt. The rookies are more dangerous, in a sense.
It's so shocking. You know, we've had a lot of police officers on this show over the years, and we've got a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners in all the forces around, and we really appreciate it, and they're awesome people when we get to meet them. But how rare is it for a cop to draw a gun? A lot of them never draw a gun, and it was would seem like that would be your instinct, would be, hey, I've got this thing that can potentially protect me. I'm going to pull it. But all of your training teaches you not to unless it needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, I think that the detectives, once they become detectives, and anyone out there can correct me to themselves if they're wrong.
But you don't want to hear about it.
Once you become a detective, you really – it's very rare for you to draw your weapon. But the patrol officers, actually, there are situations where you draw it because it just even felony car stops. So the weapon is drawn a lot, but so far as discharging the weapon, I think it's
very
statistically rare.
Very rare.
Guys, let me just butt in for 1 second. Bean, you're asking them real cop questions.
Well, I know.
They're not.
Kind of getting into the mood
not,
here, right?
But they're not real cops.
But we'll give you an answer. we'll throw it out there.
Sorry, Rob. The thing about this show I like is that you guys don't shy away from the fraternity aspect of the force, how the office politics plays with you and your fellow officers and covering each other's asses and lying for each other and covering up or exposing the problems that exist if need be. Has there been any backlash from real officers that you've talked to regarding that? Because that's an area a lot of cop shows wouldn't touch on. They tend to whitewash that aspect of how the thin blue line thing where cops kind of cover for each other.
Well, I think we're trying to both pay homage to what these guys go through and not shy away from telling the stories that are maybe a little uncomfortable. Because to be honest with you, both of those are true. There is a fraternity, the aspect that's involved and rightfully so, because quite frankly, imagine being a cop and putting up with all this stuff all day long. The only people who can really understand what you're going through are your fellow officers.
Right.
All of us live in this wonderful world of, we don't have to see this stuff every day.
Yeah.
And it's really tough to see this stuff every day. So I understand why they bond together. At the same time, there are officers. We have a character on our show, Dewey. Played by Thomas Howell of Side Out fame, who is
Pony Boy.
Pony Boy. I like to quote Side Out, but anyway.
Side Out's good.
who is a cop who is burnt out.
Hang out with Tom Sizemore, and that's what's going to happen to him.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we keep telling him.
Sizemore also just misunderstood.
Deeply.
Well, this is a great show. Southland, we could not be happier that it got picked up by TNT. It's the second episode of the season is tonight.
Yes,
how many
sir.
Do we have? Sounds like you guys are only shooting like one every 6 months.
We have, yes.
It's a relaxed pace. I mean, are we going to watch tonight and then?
And then, well, we'll be on the next week.
Michael Groove between episodes.
Exactly. Yeah. There are five more episodes left to the season, number two being tonight.
Excellent. Okay. Guys, thanks so much for joining us. Ben McKenzie, Michael Cudlitz, very fine actors. The show is called Southland Tuesdays. That's tonight at 10 on TNT. I hope we see you again. Gorillaz on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:39. That new song from Gorillaz, by the way, Stylo, you have to check out the video. Bruce Willis stars in it. It looks like a big budget action movie. And
yeah, it really
it's very, very cool. You can check it out. Go to kevinamine.com. If you don't see it immediately, just type in Gorillaz or the name of the song Stylo and it will come up. All right. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. One leftover tidbit of business that we need to attend to, and we mentioned this very briefly yesterday, is this Kristen Stewart from Twilight. She's got to be stopped, right?
Well, she's not good, if that's what you mean.
She just isn't, but she's annoying as well. I mean, it's really bizarre the way she kind of acts like she doesn't care about anything. And even if you don't, fake it.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's her thing, that she doesn't care as much as I do believe that she is terrified. I do believe that she has social anxiety and she has a lot of trouble being and speaking in public, which to me says when they call you and say, hey, please present on the Oscars, say no, because you're going to be bad. You're going to bring down the whole show. Here's a little bit of her presenting an award. I think this was actually the tribute to horror movies that they did at the Oscars on Sunday night. Listen to her delivery from a so-called professional actress.
It's been 37 long years since horror had its place on this show when The Exorcist picked up 2 Academy Awards. So tonight, we want to give horror films their due and pay tribute to the movies that love to dare us.
And she's all slumped over and mumbling and coughing.
She
just coughed.
By the way, it's
funny that she talks about how long it had been since horror movies had won big at the Oscars, going all the way back to The Exorcist in the 70s. And then in the clip package, they show Silence of the Lambs from the 90s, which won the Best Picture.
But so they also put Twilight in it, which doesn't make any sense for horror.
The whole thing didn't make any sense. But they just, I don't know what her deal is, but I think we got her on the phone. I think producer Alex was able to line up K-Stew, as the kids call her, Kristen Stewart from Twilight, on the phone with us. We'll find out what her damage is. Hey, Kristen, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What?
Well, we just wanted to call and talk to you about the Oscars.
All right.
It just
go.
It seems
talk.
All right. It just seems like you hate everywhere you go, and every time you're asked to do anything, you have such a crappy attitude. You just make the whole room miserable.
Oh, does it?
It does.
Oh,
yeah.
Does it?
Yes.
It okay.
Does.
Yeah.
I mean, would it kill you to stand up straight and articulate when you're on a stage and a microphone in front of a worldwide audience? I mean, come
stand
on.
Stand up straight? Okay, granddad.
You do slump over a little more than most.
Uh-huh.
I mean, really. I mean, even people your
age. You're slouchy. Come on.
People my age, Pop? Really?
I'm saying, you look like you got some kind of disease. Is there a problem? Do you need to go to the doctor?
No, do you have a problem?
No.
This is not going
all right,
well.
Let me put it another way. Let me put
what?
It another way.
Were you, okay. Were you turned too nervous?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was too nervous.
Okay, not that. All right.
I don't feel like you're taking this conversation seriously at all.
I don't feel like you're taking this conversation. Boo-hoo-hoo-hoo.
All right, let me put it another way.
Wow, you're a bitch.
You presented at the Oscars with your co-star from Twilight, Taylor Lautner. He's the one who plays the talking dog in your movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, did they call him T-Law?
Yes. So he comes out there, and he's the same age as you. He's got the exact uh-huh. same level of experience as you. But he's out there, and he's cleaned up, and he's standing up straight, and he's talking into the camera, and he makes it look like he gives a damn that he's there. And it looked like we were intruding upon – what are you doing, Kristen? What's
well,
going on?
Well, hits for him.
Oh, you're clapping?
Applause for Taylor.
Oh,
he stands up straight, so no. Grandpa's happy.
I'm just saying he's a little more professional. You could make an effort. That's all I'm suggesting.
Okay. I will. Next time I'll make an effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. Like
that
you're going to be doing
happy?
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think you're a professional. Try it. Look, you're going to be doing a lot of press for this Runaways movie. You play Joan Jett in the movie, right?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe don't talk to everybody like you're doing them a favor.
Are you still talking?
I don't think we're getting through it all here.
Yelling. Hey. Take it down a notch, man. Hey. World famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:52.
Foo Fighters right there on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, working on a new album. They say it's going to be their heaviest album yet. Can't
awesome.
Wait. You know, Dave Grohl had said when they released the Greatest Hits record, he said this is the kind of an end of an era for Foo Fighters, and I don't know what we're going to do next. We're going to do something different. And now it looks like they're gonna rock out. So I'm very excited to see what they come up with next.
They're going to rock out with?
You fill in the blank.
All right.
Green Day, Paramore, and the man who got the Razzie for writing the worst movie of the decade. Joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show, coming up next. Quite an honor. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Now, what's going on, Ralph?
Not just won it, but accepted it. Well, showed
yeah.
up at the Golden Raspberry Awards to accept
yeah.
his award. That is
love that.
A man who takes responsibility for his mistakes.
That's right.
Gotta love that. It is Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. I heard you guys mention the new CD by The Gorillaz, Plastic Beach. It's available mm-hmm. on shelves today at your local radio store, mm-hmm. record store. Broken Bells by Broken Bells, also available today. Beat the Devil's,
so good.
Beat the Devil's Tattoo by Black Rebel Motorcycle Club.
Yeah.
Battle of the Sexes by Ludacris. And Quarantine the Past, The Best of Pavement by Pavement is available today. DVDs up in the air in case you need a chance to see that Oscar-nominated movie. I saw it twice in the theaters. That's how much I love this
That's
movie.
That's a party. That's what I know about that movie.
It's a great film.
It is. But
great
it's
on
not,
every level.
It's not,
George Clooney.
It isn't fun.
Vera Farmiga. Jason Bateman.
It's not an upper.
I thought it was fun. There's certain parts that are very fun.
Absolutely.
You don't walk away going, yes! I love life!
Kevin left saying, I don't... What? What does it mean? I don't understand. Why? He's not up in the air. He's on the ground a lot.
Precious, based on a novel Push by Sapphire. Or Now Push by Saf.
Is that what they're calling
it? You ever
now?
See the cover of the book?
No.
Now Push by Saf.
Hmm. That's what it says?
That's what it says wow. in the front of the book.
Why does it say that?
Because, you know, it's cool to leave out letters.
No, it isn't.
Gabri Sidibe, of course, stars in Precious. By the way, did you hear that... at the Oscars, Southwest Airline called her and said, don't even think about it.
Oh,
can you believe that? That is really, that preemptive phone call really seems out of line.
I agree. She wasn't even trying to fly out.
She wasn't
Southwest.
Even at the airport. She was at the Kodak Theater. They called her and said, don't even think about it. The Southwest.
Wow, way to ruin her big night.
I thought
Come
that
on.
Was inappropriate. Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day by Sean Patrick Flannery. Who's Sean Patrick Flannery's in it. Old Dogs. with John Travolta and Robin Williams. Mm-hmm. Look, I didn't say they're all good. I just said they're all available.
Yeah.
Planet 51, the animated film, and Capitalism, A Love Story, the Michael Moore documentary, which was conspicuously not nominated for an Oscar this year.
A lot of people wondering
who he's cheesed off at the Academy. But
he's usually a guaranteed nomination, at least.
There's your new DVDs and CDs in stores. Speaking of the Oscars, the Oscar folks said it wasn't an oversight that Farrah Fawcett's name didn't make it into the memoriam montage on Sunday night's broadcast.
I was thinking last night, how could they make this worse?
By saying, no, we did think of her, and we opted not to put her in it.
Decided not to.
We don't really care that much about her death. We'd rather talk about Irv Fleming, publicist for Sony Pictures for a year and a half.
Tell me what, let's play devil's advocate for a moment. Let's put ourselves in the shoes of the people putting together the dead people montage for 2010 or 2009 and discuss how they could have come to that conclusion. What could somebody have said that would have made sense to not put her in the montage?
Could have said TV star, not really a movie star.
Maybe, yeah.
Michael Jackson was in way fewer movies than Farrah Fawcett, and he was in it.
Yes, but international icon, I guess that would be their defense there.
That's an odd choice.
One of the biggest stars in the world, Farrah Fawcett, TV star primarily.
She got ripped off by dying the same day as Michael Jackson, practically overshadowed. And then here we are months later, she's getting overshadowed again.
Yeah. Jocelyn James, Tiger Woods' mistress.
Yes.
Speaking out once again about her relationship with Tiger.
Excellent. I'm sure that'll make him happy.
New York Post, an interview with her, and she said she is very happy that Tiger is patching things up with his wife. If you were so concerned about their relationship, maybe you could have avoided, I don't know, spreading your legs like a whore the first time.
What is that?
Is there any way you guys could imagine that you could go off and have sex with 14 mistresses and then get your wife back?
No.
How rich am I in this scenario?
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. How rich?
Yes.
But even so.
Yeah, she doesn't need his money. I mean, she's going to get his money.
Right. She could have left him and taken hundreds of millions of dollars, so she didn't need to stay with him for the money.
But I don't even buy that this is going to work.
Yeah, if I had to put
money on
it.
They're in conversation. She wants to move back home, and they're going to make a conversation about making it work.
They were spotted kissing yesterday, by the way.
What?
They were spotted kissing yesterday.
Well, he was kissing her ass.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Not really kissing.
I can't imagine talking your way back into the house after 14 affairs.
That they know of.
The kids would be the only reason, but I don't think that's...
He had affairs with the kids?
That's not what she's saying. I don't cotton to that kind of behavior. That's not what she means.
Same. I don't know why that's okay with Lisa. Wow.
It's okay with her. And Holly Madison and Benji Madden are a couple.
Why do we have a drum roll?
I don't know.
What's going on? It's not coming for me.
This isn't my list at all. This is a different setup on this.
Where's the drum roll?
Thank you.
Ralph's machine.
That's a nice timpani I've got there, yeah.
Who knew you had that?
I didn't know I had that at all. Put that on my file.
There we go.
Now I'm in business.
All right.
Benji Madden. There we go. That's the sound effect I was looking for, yes. Got a new relationship with Holly Madison, Hugh Hefner's ex.
Okay.
They're head over heels in love, if you believe In Touch Weekly magazine. The two are talking about moving in together, despite the fact that they've only been together for a few weeks. Apparently, he has asked her to appear in his latest video. And he says, friends say he can't shut up about how amazing she looks.
Well, he can sure rub it into his brother that he got a way hotter chick than he did.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Wasn't she with Chris Angel like
a
week ago or
something? Yeah. She's doing that peep show in Vegas, and that's apparently where she was hanging out with the...
You want to follow Chris Angel?
Chris Sarantakos. And now, celebrity birthday! Linda Fiorentino is 52 years old today. Rapper C. Murder is 39.
Yeah! And where is he today, Ralph?
I believe he's in jail. Bean?
For what, Ralph?
Murder.
Murder
was the case they gave him.
Yeah,
it wasn't
PCP
his fault.
Him.
He had no choice with that name.
I smoked PCP with him.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Why didn't you smoke it with his cousin, C. Drugs? Why'd you hang out with C. Murder?
D-Rape was there.
D-Rape was there? He's good, yeah. Emmanuel Lewis is 39 years old today. Not in prison, by the way, Emmanuel Lewis. Chingy celebrates his 30th birthday. Good day to be born if you're a rapper. Bow Wow is 32 years old today.
No longer little.
No more little. Brittany Snow turns 24. And actor Kerr Smith, who was on Dawson's Creek,
is 38 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ooh, Paramore, Haley, I love you.
I love her.
Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. An update from the guy that Psycho Mike married to a mannequin coming up in about 15 minutes. Apparently, he's been leaving voicemail messages for us, so we'll check in with Dua Veed coming up in a minute. The Razzies were this weekend, Kevin. And as you know, they every year are held the same weekend as the Academy Awards. It's extremely rare to see a person nominated for both. And in this case, this year, history was made because Sandra Bullock won both. She won the Oscar for her performance in The Blind Side, and she won the Razzie for her performance in All About Steve, and she showed up to the Razzies to actually accept it. That doesn't happen very often.
How about that?
Another guy who won a Razzie this weekend and did show up is J.D. Shapiro. He is the guy who wrote what the Razzies honored as the worst movie of the decade, Battlefield Earth, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. J.D., thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
Great. How you guys doing?
We are good.
Well, congratulations, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. No, no, no. If you're going to, you know, screw up, you got to screw up big.
The worst movie of the decade.
Come on.
I mean, that's saying something. You're standing out in that crowd.
Well, that, you know, that's the idea. Like I said, you're going to go bad. Go really, really, really bad.
Now, before we talk about Battlefield Earth, which many of our listeners have heard of, very few have seen, tell me if you can remember, J.D., who was your competition for the Razzie for this award?
I remember Freddie Got Fingered and Geely, and I can't remember the other two.
Wow, and you beat them all.
We beat them all.
All right.
I thought we'd get some stiff competition from Julie, but apparently we won handily.
Hands down, wow.
Yeah, it's funny because when people are looking for a movie to throw out as a joke or to throw out as an example of a horrible movie, they very often go to Geely. Battlefield Earth, people have kind of forgotten about a little bit, is my impression. Is that your experience too?
No, not at all.
No. All right, that's fine too.
Now tell us how Battlefield Earth happened. Did you write a good movie and then they took it and changed it, or did you write a crappy movie, or how?
I'm completely dyslexic, and they said write a good movie. If they had said to me write a bad movie, we might have been on the right track.
So bad instruction.
Exactly, instruction. No, what happened was when I wrote the original draft, actually, here comes the excuses, but this is what really happened. Travolta signed on to play the good guy, and then we had several A-list directors that wanted to make the movie. Then I got some notes from MGM, and I called up the president, who was Mike Marcus, and I said something to the effect of, this is the worst curse word notes I've ever curse word seen in my curse word.
Really?
Another curse word life. And so I said I wouldn't do them, and so strangely I was fired from the project, and the other writer was brought in. And
no kid. How different was your version? I mean, would we even recognize it?
No, it's completely different.
Not
I mean,
all.
There's aspects of the book. Those are about the only things you'd recognize.
Right.
The names of the characters, but pretty much everything else, completely different.
Now, are you a Scientologist?
No, I'm not a Scientologist, but I do hold the honor. I am the only, as far as I know, non-Scientologist to ever be on their ship, and I believe I'm the only person to ever get into a fist fight at Celebrity Center.
Oh, that happens all the time. You were on the ship? You were on the boat where they keep people captive and whip them, or whatever it is they do?
I was on the boat.
Wow.
I didn't see any whipping, but it was people looked at me strange for a couple of days.
Now, J.D., this is really interesting to me. So if I understand correctly, you're saying that you turned in a treatment of the movie, you had a disagreement as to where it was going to go in the next draft of it, and you were fired from the project. They brought in somebody else to finish it, yet they kept your name on as a co-writer of the film, right?
Yeah, it wasn't a treatment. It was a full script. John signed on after I wrote the script. In fact, he called me up. He was, like, beyond thrilled about it, and we had dinner, and he went over how excited he was, and then we had all these actors. And, my name's on it because I was the original writer based on a book.
Now, did you get money because of that, I hope?
I did get money for it. I actually wanted to use my pseudonym, which at the time was Sir Nick Knack. But the guild had a rule. They said if you get paid over a certain amount of money, you're not allowed to. So that was that.
In retrospect, would you rather have had your name left off of this movie than get the money?
You know, it's more now. I just enjoy the fact that my name's on what's considered the worst movie of the decade. there were people who have actually won an Oscar, as you know, Holly Berry, and then won a Razzie.
Sure.
So I would be the person, you know, like I said, I'm dyslexic. I want to win the Razzie,
all
and
right.
Now I need to go on to win an Oscar.
So this is just step one of your evil mastermind plan.
Exactly.
All right.
I love it. Well, you had a real sense of humor to show up to accept your award, and I know you thank the dozens and dozens of people who saw the movie. Yes. I never did see it. I'm one of those people who just, you know, the reviews came out, it just sounded bad, and you saw what they did to John Travolta's head, and you just thought it looked laughable. Was the movie every bit as bad as many of us suspected it was?
There was a line I also used in the speech, which is, I'd like to call the movie a train wreck, but that's not fair to train wrecks because people want to watch train wrecks. So, yeah, if I was going to teach a course in what not to do in a movie in every single aspect, I would choose Battlefield Earth.
Fantastic. I think I may have to put this in my Netflix queue. You now have me intrigued, I have to tell you. All right, JD, good stuff. And, of course, you should go to jdshapiro.com to check out more of what he's done. He's actually also written some...
What I'd love the people to do is go to 524ad.com. There's my shameless plug, but that's a new movie I'm doing, going back to like when I wrote Robin Hood Men in Tights, which was a spoof. That's going back to my spoof period.
Which is a great movie, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Is Ralph there? Because I did a movie with Aaron William Dozier, and I'm sure he recognizes the name. And we were actually, it was based on a movie. I was engaged to a woman that he ended up marrying, and we became close friends. And when she dumped him, he moved into my house. So I have a lot of Batman stories.
All right, I don't understand any of that. But
you lost me, but we'll put you on hold. You can pick up and talk to Ralph off the air. How about that?
Okay, that's good.
Okay. All right. J.D. Shapiro, congratulations on your Razzie. Congratulations on being one of the writers on the worst movie of the decade. And thank you for joining us here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you, man.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Time for an update from an old friend. Psycho Mike, describe to folks who Duavid is and how you changed his life forever before we hear from him.
Duavid is a guy who lives out here in Southern California who came across a certain mannequin in a store, like a sex toy and lingerie store here on Hollywood Boulevard, and he immediately fell in love with her. He named her Clara, and I married them. It was his dream to marry her, and I made that possible.
We called the store, and we said, hey, the guy wants the mannequin. Can he have her? And the guy said, yeah, sure. And then it happened.
Yep.
And every time we talk to Duavid, by the way, we hang up the phone going, he's the happiest married man I know.
I know.
He couldn't be going any better for him, except for a few hiccups along the way. And before we get to him on the phone, Kevin, I understand he left us a message yesterday?
Yes, about Clara, his wife, which I think you'll be very interested to hear, Bean.
Hi, this is Duavid and wife Clara. I gave my wife Clara my own breast implants. You should see her beautiful new breasts. They're so big, and her nipples protrude so much, she's gorgeous.
What?
She's so much better looking than she was before. Oh, she's
He gave her his own breast enlargements.
How do you do that? She's made of plastic, right?
Plastic, yeah. How do you put implants into a mannequin?
Could he have done?
Hey, Duavid?
Yes.
Let's say, for the sake of...
Wife Clara.
Yes.
With her wedding ring on her left hand,
right?
Okay, glued to prevent dropping.
Sure,
is getting more beautiful every day.
Okay, now Duavid, let's say that I wanted to give my mannequin wife breast implants. Now, it seems like that's not possible. How do you do that? I mean,
like, what did you do?
Yeah, exactly. How physically did you do it? Yeah.
Use?
Do I have to give you my secret?
Well, yes. Yes, you do.
The compliments she's getting by women, 3% of the women out there are saying your wife is gorgeous.
Okay. All right. Duavid, listen up. Your wife was already gorgeous, first of all. She's one of those women who didn't need plastic surgery. But we're asking physically, we're trying to understand how you took breast implants and put them inside a hard plastic mannequin. It doesn't seem physically possible.
I added prosthetics.
Prosthetics.
So you didn't put anything in under her plastic skin. You put something on top of the boobs that were already there.
Well, correct.
Is it like a bunch of
prosthetics? It's 5 layers of them. And she's now the most super beautiful wife on earth.
Duavid, did she want this for her own self-respect, or did you want it? Did you kind of push it on her?
Both of us.
Both wanted it.
Okay. Every woman wants bigger breasts.
Right.
And I said, baby, I'm going to give you what every woman wants, to be super endowed.
Okay. And
you're right about that. That is what every woman wants and what every woman should have.
How did she tell you that she wanted the breast implants?
Well, she looked into my eyes with those
gorgeous for me only eyes
sure.
and said, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting.
I'm waiting, okay.
Oh, how about that? Now, it's awesome how much you've improved her up top, but what's going on below the waist now? Were you ever able to figure out how to get those legs back on?
Okay, her legs are in storage. I'm waiting for Adult Protective Services to recover everything, including wife's legs. And we have a new permanent address.
You have what?
A permanent address?
A new permanent address.
Oh, a new permanent address. Okay.
So that Carol Collins of DMH is working on getting us housing in Beverly Hills.
Okay, that sounds like we're a little bit off topic here. I was asking how you were doing on getting her legs put back on her as a mannequin.
Well, we are waiting to find the part
okay.
that goes on top of her legs to screw into her torso.
Okay, but you're going to be able to do that search headquartered in Beverly Hills, if I'm not mistaken.
Wherever.
Okay, all right.
In other words, I cannot pull that part
right.
that's held in by four Phillips head screws out of the thin air.
Right, of course.
Okay,
yeah.
So you need you need professional assistance at this point. It's out of your hands as a layperson.
Well, Acme Display claims they do not make or sell parts. They only sell the whole mannequin.
I see. Wow. So,
that's no good. You don't want to replace her.
Listen, is the new one younger and hotter? Happens, you know, sometimes.
One younger and hotter, you lost me.
I'm just saying, is a different mannequin, perhaps with legs. You know, maybe it's time to trade up.
No,
no, okay,
yeah, that's
Clara
offensive.
Clara is the same.
She's the one.
Okay. Listen, Dwavid, we're almost out of time. Producer Alex tells me that we did get some calls from Kevin and Bean listeners last time you were on, who said they thought that they could help. And it's going to require you getting to their location. They can't come to you. Would you be willing to take Clara on a bus to go someplace if we could hook up an appointment for you?
It depends on, yeah.
Psycho Mike will carry you on his back.
I drive a truck. If you don't mind putting Clara in the back, I'd be more than happy to give you a ride.
Wait.
Would she be offended to sit in the back?
Clara sits on my lap.
On your lap. Okay.
On your lap.
All right.
Fine.
Okay.
Fair enough.
We got rules.
Can Clara sit on my lap?
He's just kidding, Dwavid.
Don't move in on another man's wife here. Listen, Dwavid, we haven't forgotten about you. We think of you often. We are going to help you get Clara restored to her previous beauty. But it sounds like you've made some tremendous upgrades with the new boobies. So congratulations on that. I'm glad you guys are still doing so well.
The compliments wife Clara gets on her huge breasts. She puts every woman on this earth to shame.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell that. She's a beautiful woman to begin with, so now she's even better.
Exactly. Her eyes captured my heart.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, Dwavid. Well, listen, God bless you. We're out of time, but we'll talk again soon, and we'll get this thing going, okay?
Okay.
All right, you're the best.
All right, man. Take care.
Say hi to Clara for us.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman is here. Yet another look at the show biz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so happy I'm going to be able to sleep tonight.
Why?
I haven't been able to sleep for weeks.
Why?
Since Samantha Harris announced she was leaving Dancing with the Stars, I was like, who is going to fill in? Who's going to be the co-host? Bergeron can't handle it by himself. I mean, he's a very talented guy, but it's an enormous responsibility and a lot of plates to spin on that show. How can he, one man, do the job of two people? You gotta get Bergeron some help. I kept screaming.
Physically, he'd have to be in two places at the same time. He needs to be over by where the dancers are, and then she has to be backstage with the other dancers. So, what do you do?
He has to be by the judges' stand, and then a co-host would have to be in the dancers' lounge to interview after the dances and talk to the dancing teams before they hit the stage.
Hey, Ralph and Bean. Pretty sure that's been covered. We got it. That's covered.
I'm saying.
The setup is
Bergeron
complete.
Bergeron is only one man.
The setup is complete and good.
He can't do it himself.
Right.
So I couldn't sleep. Worrying. But finally, they announced who's going to take over for Samantha Harris, because she's going to spend her full time on The Insider. Lara? And it's going to be Brooke Burke. Brooke Burke.
Wow.
All right.
Brooke Burke.
Going
to take over.
All right.
And she is going to be scrumptious, and I'm sure she's going to do a fine job.
Still not going to watch, but
she's talking to Buzz Aldrin backstage.
I'm so jealous.
You broke a hip during that tango. Do you think you'll be able to continue? Florida!
Tell us about your diaper.
We shouldn't make 80-year-olds go on reality shows and dance, right?
They want to.
Who's making him?
Shouldn't we let them retire and just live peaceably?
Yes,
come on.
We want him to die.
I don't want him to die. I want him to enjoy his retirement and not have a gun to his head to do a tango.
No one's putting a gun to his head. He said, I want to do it.
He's trying to make ends meet because Social Security doesn't cover the rent
Shut
in his apartment.
Up. He has senile dementia. Oh, I think he just wandered into the studio.
I know where he was.
His daughter took him to Subway for a 6-inch because he can't eat the footlong because he's got the gas. He's got the colitis. So it was just going to be like an Italian BMT 6-inch on route.
Right.
And she turned her back, and Grandpa Buzz just wandered down the street and just walked in through the doors of his sound stage. And they said, Buzz Aldrin, you're going to dance on the stars.
You say that, but we had him on this program, and he could not have been sharper, brighter, more articulate, more youthful.
That was the slowest, dullest.
He was a dullard of mythic proportions and barely understood who we were or what the concept of radio was. He was perplexed by radio. So the sound goes through the air. He couldn't comprehend the technology behind doing a morning show.
How could an interview with a guy who walked on the moon not be interesting? I don't know, but somehow he pulled it off.
How dare you? I'm offended by this.
So anyway.
He's kind of a good guy, but he's also kind of a prick, too.
Oh, come on. That's not...
No, he's dull.
You know what someone reminded me of this morning when I first did the story is that it won't be Brooke's first time on the show. She was the winner of season 7.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's been on more than 7 seasons?
Oh, yeah. This is season 10, I believe.
Huh.
So she and Bergeron, you know, have a history. She was dancing with Derek Hough. He was... Juliana Hoff's little brother, that Nazi-looking bastard, that young Nazi-looking bastard.
Kind of flimsy, too.
Yeah, he is way flimsy. He's got a band, too, the other homo that dances on that show. Those guys. Cirque du Soleil has announced another Las Vegas show.
How many do they have?
29.
That's odd.
In one casino, which is odd, and they all go off at the same time. No, I think they're rocking... The four of them?
Four,
now?
Yeah.
Well, they got the Beatles one.
They're all successful.
They got Mysterier.
Okay.
And they got O.
Yeah. Aren't they the ones with Chris Angel, too, with that one?
I believe that they may have produced that show as well. Yeah. Maybe have been them, too. They've got Elvis. So it's like five or up to?
Zumanity.
Yeah. Holy crap.
That Elvis one has to suck, but the rest of
it. Why does it have to suck?
Yes, just...
Does the Beatles one have to suck?
Yeah.
I saw the Beatles one. It was great.
No.
Oh, okay. My bad.
Wait, Ralph didn't see it or it wasn't great? What are you disputing?
It was bad.
Viva Elvis, of course, just opened, and now apparently the Cirque du Soleil gang is in talks with the Jackson family to bring you Michael Jackson's life and music on stage to a hotel casino near you in Las Vegas. 2011 is what they're shooting for.
There was a lot of talk while he was alive, of course, of him doing a year or two there.
He was going to sit down like Celine Dion and one of those people and do all his concerts there. But that is no longer an option.
Okay, so that's out.
Because of death.
Okay.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Rapper Bow Wow. Bow Wow Wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
He's an actor on the Entourage show on HBO.
He's also on the USC basketball team. Did you know that?
What?
Yeah.
Bow Wow plays for USC?
Yeah, he sure does.
The same Bow Wow?
No.
Steve Bow Wow.
Another Bow Wow.
Well, I don't know if you're
Why would I bring it up?
Because it sounds odd.
He's on the USC basketball team.
All right.
Bow Wow. It's right there in his jersey. He goes out, ladies and gentlemen, Bow Wow. And he comes out on the court. Brittany Snow is 24 years old today. She's pretty.
Yeah.
Chingy celebrates his 40th birthday.
Yeah.
Rapper C. Murder is 39. They're going to give him 39 cigarettes. They can use as cash inside while he's there. Manuel Lewis is also 39 years old today. Actor Kerr Smith turns 38. And actress Linda Fiorentino.
Ooh.
You know her from Men in Black,
mm-hmm.
The Last Seduction, and Dogma. Very talented, very lovely actress. She's 52. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We are going to talk about concert etiquette. We've been having many arguments off the air about concert etiquette. How do you act at concerts? How do you not act at concerts?
Miss Cleo's been arguing.
Miss Cleo's been very upset, and she's wrong and bad in every way. So
this is her cause.
Yes.
There's people dying in Haiti.
Yes.
Chile needs help, but she's picking up on the audience.
Yes.
Isn't she just trying to fight for her right to party? I mean, isn't that what this basic argument is all about?
File.
And other I'm serious. I'm just that's shorthand for she wants to do whatever the hell she wants to do at concerts, and other people are hating on her for doing it, right? I mean, that's where this whole thing started, right?
I believe
she,
so.
Somebody tried to dress her down for singing at a concert, which I understand why she's upset about that.
The artist wasn't on stage yet, Bean.
Well, we'll get the details tomorrow.
Okay. It seems important. Our cause is perky jerky.
Oh, yes.
Perky jerky. Now, this is beef jerky with caffeine.
Finally.
Wow.
Two great tastes that taste great together.
Now, we're going to talk to an editor from Spin Magazine about South by Southwest, which is coming up very soon in Austin.
Yeah.
So we'll get that tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including that new song called Euro Thrash by Dead Country. Stick around for that if you haven't heard it. Also, Cracker, Queens of the Stone Age, Live, Weezer, and more. Straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.